Hello.
Hey, it's creepy, like calling you and seeing that crossed face every time.
Like, ah, it's happening.
Yeah, they're coming, they're coming. So, how
Listen,
are
my
you this morning?
I'm good.
You have a family event this afternoon?
Yeah, we just have a family get together dealy.
Wow. Bouncy house.
Not no. I'll try and jump up on the floor, down on the floor enough to start it to bend, but
I
not quite
bet I could do that. I don't think you
there.
could. Oh,
When I was in college, there was like people rented out like houses, like around campus.
yeah.
And a lot of the big party houses, the floor like would start sagging like in the center.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because of
Were
all of
you always in the center?
the yeah, I'd
Did
jump. That was
you
when jumping down
gravitate
the
to the
center.
middle
I was usually passed out in the center of the floor.
with your chain belt and mohawk?
With purple hair.
Yeah. You'd fit right into this Night of the Living Dead comic book I just read.
I actually just started reading that because I saw you posted it.
Aftermath.
Is that a one shot?
I no, but I it's to be
Miniseries?
continued at the end.
Okay.
But the story reads kind of like a one shot. Let's see, I got a little beep. What did that mean?
Think Micah's online.
Ah. Oh, I could have just I'm gonna have to figure a better way to do this. It added our old conversation and what the hell's going on here? All right, let's see, add the conference call. All right, live, Geek Brunch.
Hello.
Hey,
Hello.
What's up?
you got my text.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you read your email or not because we get tons of email there. It might get lost in all the fan mail we get.
Get so much fan mail that it's hard for me
Just.
to cipher through it. Actually, what I get in that account mostly now is requests from people who clearly have never listened to the show to review their books.
Oh yeah, I get that too. I think they go to the website or find it.
Yeah, I think they just look for Comic Book Podcast and just email all of them.
Yep. That's what I get there too. But I don't get too much other stuff except my Kickstarters. I kickstarted the Goon trailer and got all kinds of hell from Daryl. He All day Friday, I'm at work. I'm like, leave me the fuck alone. I'm getting texts like, fuck you. Like this trailer's being funded and all this. I'm like, what the hell? He was like shocked it wasn't a movie. And I'm like, if you read what the Kickstarter's funding, it's a promo for to try to go to production companies and get the whole movie funded.
Right.
So read before you.
I think a lot of people are going to be misled by that.
Well, people are dumb.
Well,
But you figure, I mean, they'll release whatever they create, so you're going to get something.
yeah,
You'll get a 10
but
minute
like,
or whatever.
I'm getting an exclusive Eric Powell cover.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Eric Powell's, even though he gives regular comics the shit. I think it's funny. 'Cause I've been reading The Goon, so it's always had like a twisted set sense of humor, so. Yeah, but Daryl got so upset that he blocked me on Facebook. I mean, he deleted me as a friend. I
No
mean,
longer your friend on Facebook.
no longer my friend
Wow.
on the Facebook. And all I did was post on his wall, like, thanks for reminding me, because I forgot to donate. I wasn't going to get anything. I was like, thank you. I would have forgot. Thanks,
Oh, because
Daryl.
he posted like at the last minute, like, I hope they don't get enough money.
No, he texted me all day Friday at work.
They're not going to make it?
No, they made it.
No, he was texting you that they weren't going to make it?
No, that they made it, and he was upset.
He was upset about it.
Did he blame you for it?
No, because I didn't have donate until after he reminded me, so he actually helped the cause.
He pushed them further over the edge.
Yeah. Because I love that book. It is so weird and, I don't know, dark. And it's a real dark comedy. Like, I don't know, you don't see too many of those around. I can't even compare anything to it except for maybe Fashion Beast. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what the fuck that's about.
Oh, is that a comedy? Is that what you've discerned?
No. I want to talk about that, though, because I don't know. It's like, I don't even know how come it's being made. But like,
I know why it's being made. You know why it's being made.
Well, it's being made because it's Alan Moore, right?
Right.
But as far as the content, it's just so weird. It's like, why would anybody want to buy this? But I still can't take my eyes off of it, so I just don't know why. But it's unusual and different. Very weird. Did you buy it, Bill, besides the first one? Or are you going to wait till trade?
Oh, I muted myself. No, I just got the first issue. And you guys were laughing at me because I told you I couldn't tell you what the story was about.
Well, now that I've read three issues, I could tell you kind of what it's about. But it doesn't get very... I can't tell you much. So how are you, Micah?
I'm good.
I hear you had to work yesterday.
Yeah, I did have to work yesterday. That was not fun.
Yeah.
Like, that
you
is
do that
not
very often?
No.
I didn't think so.
I have to work mandatory 50s, so I'm growing a beard in protest. But it's getting itchy now. It's like at the point where I can't take it anymore. It's like,
if you don't regularly grow beards, then growing a beard is a terrible, like, because that initial phase is awful.
Oh, it's awful. Like, right now, I'm like, I can't do it. I can't.
You just got to get past that.
It's getting so itchy. And if you eat greasy food, it's not a good thing.
Does it get in your beard or something?
No, it just causes greasy beard.
You don't want that. You don't want a greasy beard.
No.
No, but yeah, yesterday was all a function of incredibly bad management.
Isn't it always?
Doing incredibly dumb things. Like, everyone knew it was a bad idea to begin with, and then they were like, oh, so what happens is, people, in case there's new listeners, I don't know, I work at a dental lab, which means I make fake teeth. And so we have a couple of contracts with different dental universities. So whenever dentists are training to be dentists, they have to, like, you know, go ahead and prep, like, fake models and so forth. Do all that stuff. And then they send them to us by, like, the groups of hundreds, right? So, one of the schools decided that it'd be a really good idea to not send us things for like a week and a half, as they normally do, and then ask if they can get them in the same time period in which they normally would get them. And someone in management, instead of being like, no, we can't do that, that's too much work in the small period of time, they're like, well, of course we can do that, not realizing that we were also like full up on just regular work that we have to do. And so here we are with like an extra 100 cases that we had to do in about 8 to 10 days, which is actually physically impossible. Like, physically, there just isn't the time to do that. So,
and why did they want to send them to you late? Or bunch of them?
They're blaming Hurricane Sandy because they're in Virginia. But in reality, this is the second year in a row they've done this. There was no hurricane last year, so they're just on some bullshit. They screwed up their own personal schedule somewhere along the line. Like,
okay.
They're
so you're paying for someone else's mistake.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, like, the dental lab industry is exploding and dying quickly around, like, all around the country. And,
why? Are there more old people now?
Well, they're getting dentures. The country is getting, like, the country is, on average, getting poorer, which makes it harder to get certain things done. Well, it just makes it more expensive to get certain things done. The price of gold, it continues to go up and up and up. And so, people are doing different things. And a lot of work is being sent out to China because a doctor can charge close to the same amount of money they were charging before. And,
Who gets gold teeth? I got a little lost on that.
A lot of people get... No, the gold is...
Gold teeth? Is that like...
Old people.
No.
People get gold teeth?
No, everyone... Like, mostly everyone does. The gold is underneath the porcelain that you see. Like, you don't see the gold, but your teeth... If you get fake teeth, there's a good chance they're actually made from gold.
What about being capped, or when they cap the tooth?
No, that's just some kind of, like, weird metal composite material.
I'm turning into, like, RoboCop in the teeth. I think they're just making shit up, man. I go there, I don't have any cavities, and then they're like, oh, you have two more cavities, come on in. And then my teeth just get more sensitive the more cavities
Doctor,
I get.
You didn't even look in my mouth yet.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, go ahead and fill it. And Barb's like, fuck you, I'm feeling fine. That's what she says. Plus, my husband comes home and bitches for a week because he can't chew on one side of his mouth. I have like sensitive teeth to whatever chemical they put in there, I think. And when they put that cap or when they do the filling, it makes my teeth like super sensitive to cold or heat.
Okay, that's normal.
And it bothers me for about a week, and then
it's because they expose the nerve or get closer to it, right?
Yeah, that last time they came real close to the nerve, I could feel it. Even with the numb mouth, I'm like, get out of my mouth!
That's a problem.
So what you're saying is soon Barb will have a mouthful of gold teeth.
No, Barb says no. She ain't taking it. She says, if you prove to me there's a filling, I'll do it. But prove to me. Don't just tell me.
See, these are documented evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's a smarter way to go about it because doctors will lie to you. Well, here's the thing about dentistry in America as it stands currently. Because of the increased pricing of going to school and because of the changing landscape, because dentistry has like a billion times more women than it used to have and so forth, the entire landscape is changing. And so what you used to have before were a bunch of dudes who either came from money or just came from a good enough background to where they wouldn't go super into debt and schools were cheaper to do. I mean, school was cheaper to go through. Mm-hmm. And so they would go through dental school and be able to open their own practice after not very much time. They'd move to a place, open up their own dentistry place, and you would go there because that's all you had to go to, right? And they worked all the time because they never had paternity leave, so they would stay there. Now what you have are a bunch of kids who are leaving dentistry school with hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt. Like absurd amounts depending on what schools they're going to. And so they can't afford to open their own practice because it takes a while for you to come out of that. So they have to join these conglomerations of dentists. So a lot of offices now, if you notice, there'll be three or four or five dentists in there. And so instead of being like a family dentist and you have 100 or so clients and they come in and see you whenever they feel like
now,
it or
now
whatnot.
It's like a Jiffy Lube.
Yeah, now they're just cranking out. And chair time is super, super important. And so they want to spend as little time with you in the chair as possible. And so like their goal is to crank out as much work as they can. They
just I was wondering why they had that
pop it out.
The digital clock above up on the wall with a timer counting down or counting up. Oh, you've been here for 15 minutes. Time to leave.
Leave.
But you're not done yet.
Almost. It's almost that bad in some places. When you're so far in debt, the only way to make up that money is to be able to get more customers in. And if you can get cheaper products from somewhere and charge the same amount to the customer, then that's profit. That's less debt that you have overall now. And So the work is all going to China, and these used to have a lot of small labs, and they're all dead, essentially. Like, all these small dental labs are dead or dying quickly, and the people who used to run them are all, like, literally dying out. And people who did certain kinds of work that isn't as popular are literally dead now, and they can't, so they can't do it anymore. And so that leaves labs like the lab I'm at to do the work. And so what we could have told that school is, fuck you, find somebody else if you want to, but I doubt you'll be able to do it. And what would have happened is they'd have been like, all right, we'll take them a week later. And that's what they would have gotten. So,
are you at least getting compensated?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's overtime pay. That's a good thing.
Nice.
But it's still my it's still, you know.
Yeah, I'd rather. I don't get compensated because I'm salary, but right. I'd rather have, if they gave me a choice, I'd rather have the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, look, listen, I got things I'd rather do than be here.
Yeah.
I don't like people that much.
I mean, I could see some people that want the extra pay or could use it, but I don't want it. I could
use it, right? Like,
you're not gonna turn it away.
I won't turn it away. That's for sure. I will not take the pay.
If you're gonna give me the money, sure. But like,
I'd rather have my weekend.
I think I'd rather have my weekend. Like, yeah. Every now and then, it isn't a problem, but like. Yeah. It was just it was made worse by, it wasn't like we didn't see it coming. Like, we could have prevented this to some degree or offset it to some measure.
Yeah, I go to like a family dentistry, and he's been around for a while, and I think he's getting to the point where, I mean, he doesn't seem like an older guy. He seems like he's late 40s, but I think he's got so much cash that he could retire, because he only does like, he has like a 4-day work week. I think he works three of them, and they're open from the hours of 7 to 3 and take an hour lunch. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Yep.
That's the ideal, man.
A lot of dentists.
That's the man who has figured it out.
Yeah, I'm envious, actually, because that's awesome.
He has figured it out.
The highest suicide rates, like behind accountants and so forth. Like, they have this.
Well, it'd be awful. I could never be a dentist because looking at people's mouths is not
your fingers and nasty mouths.
Not just that. I know you got rubber gloves and a mask and shit. Yeah, really, but it's just gross, and it's like in a small area, and it's got to be devastating to your back over time, or you know, your muscles, because you're crouched over teeth. I mean, yeah, you have a chair that can move like in 1,000 different positions, but damn. I just don't like when they get that huge needle and they stick it in your gum or, you know, near where they're gonna do their work, and they just circle it. Like, you could feel the needle moving around. It's like, get that fucking thing out of my mouth.
In and out.
Yeah, I don't like that piece.
I like the dentist I go to, but unfortunately our stupid insurance company changed, so now I think he's not in the preferred plan or whatever.
Oh, that is sucks.
Fine for cleanings, but anything else we can't get done there. So you can like submit them to try and get them into the preferred program, but it's probably just a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah,
probably a waste of your time.
So now I got to find an unscrupulous doctor, dentist.
Yep,
bastards. They get you every which way. And now I'm going to ask if my fake teeth are coming from America. No, I don't have any. When I get to that point in life.
Are my fake teeth coming from America? Are they gold plated? Because Bill wants the gold teeth.
Let me see the gold
plated teeth. Wants a shining gold tooth in the middle.
Hey, if there's going to be gold in it, you might as well let the gold be seen, right?
It'd probably help you in your elevator career, because you never know when gold will play a part.
You need to take it out and use it as a conductor for something.
It's like, I'll fix this elevator. I can
connect this with my teeth.
Use me as a bridge. Oh, wow. Seems like every time we open up with some kind of like a life experience now. It's like, we got the wedding cakes. That's awesome.
I live an exciting life.
And We usually just open about one of us bitching about work.
That's usually what it is.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I'm going to have to quit sooner or later, too. It's awesome.
Yeah, I got to find out how to work that 7 to 3, man. 3 days a week, 4 days a week.
Well, I mean, you have money in the bank. Just take time out now and go to dentistry school.
That's not bad. Well, then I'd have to rent my space in a conglomerate of dentists to try to recoup my costs for the first 15 years of life. Yeah. Then I can open my own practice 15 years later, and then I'm ready to retire.
Or you could be, maybe you can become a genius and you only work the week, you work the weekends, and you work, like, you work the 5 to 9 dentistry shifts.
Well, you know what I would like to invent, and I don't know if it's been invented, and my dentist is just too cheap. I'd like to invent something when they x-ray your teeth, like, especially way back in the molars, they use this huge metal fucking object, and it weighs like way too much, and it hurts because they have to like put it against your gums and put it against the back teeth, and it's like
they got rich, make it in there.
A weight thing that they can use that doesn't cause the pain.
Why are you having your teeth x-rayed so much?
Them, I would charge them like a lot to use it, but then their customers would be happy and they'd go to the dentist.
You have to get your teeth x-rayed because there's a big markup on that.
I'm like, why are you getting your teeth x-rayed?
Oh, you have to get it's just part of your checkup, Micah. Like, every year, like, if you have, like, dentistry insurance or whatever, you get your teeth x-rayed.
That sounds
at the
dumb,
beginning of the year. Like
all... They're trying to give you cancer, Mike. Stop it.
All the surgeons have badass x-rays, though. Like, if you're going to go get a root canal or your wisdom teeth pulled out, they have like these circular x-rays that just go around your head. And you don't feel anything when they do that.
Exposes your whole brain to radiation.
Yeah, I'm turning to the Hulk, I think.
I mean, you probably are.
Except I'm a pear-shaped Hulk.
Wait, what did they use the 3D one for? The 360 one for?
Usually for removing wisdom teeth that are impacted and stuff.
Yeah, like, unless you're getting something taken out or they're going to put implants in your face.
Because when they're impacted, they want to make sure they don't fuck up your jaw and stuff. Like,
yeah.
X-rays are useful, but you don't need a lot of them.
They like to do them once a year.
I only do them once a year.
I wouldn't.
I skipped my last one because I didn't know if insurance was going to pay for it.
Well, that's what I... What's really starting to suck is I got to figure something out because either they're shysting me or I just don't fucking brush my teeth or something. Because
I think you're getting some bullshit done to you.
I think so, man. Because I like... At work, I have a stress thing. Like, I have these floss sticks, and if I get real stressed, I just floss the shit out of my teeth. So it's like,
I haven't heard of that one before.
Like, well,
that's new to me.
I need to write that one down. It's a good character trait.
Well, it's a better
obsessive flossing.
Yeah, it's better than doing some other stuff, you know what I mean? But that's my nervous habit, and I've been doing it a lot less because it's real stressful lately. So, like they even say, your gums are in great condition. Well, then where are all the fucking cavities coming from? I don't get it.
You brush your teeth with a toothbrush and toothpaste, right?
No, some scrubbing iron.
I brush my teeth with candy and sugar. I brush my teeth and then I have a bonbon before bed.
As long as that sugar could coat my teeth right before bed, I'm fine.
Helps me sleep.
So what's going on, fellas? What you been reading?
I've been reading Strawberry Shortcake. Shit's awesome.
The Star Strawberry Shortcake? Star Comics?
Is that who? No, I think it's Ape.
The new one?
Oh, you're reading the new one. I was thinking of the...
Classic?
The classic, yeah.
Oh, no. I don't have the classic. There's a classic Strawberry Shortcake?
Well, Marvel had it. You know how
Star... You know what? Of course Marvel had it, because they had every freaking comic.
Star had a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. They had some brand new properties and some licensed properties.
So how is the Strawberry Shortcake from Ape Entertainment?
It's good. It's surprisingly good. It's cute. It's an absolutely adorable book.
What was the appeal? Like, why did you... Is it because you like the way they smell, or what?
They do smell good.
It had lots of bright colors on it. So I was like, sure, I'll look at Strawberry Shortcake. Let's see.
Yeah, seriously, what the hell are you reading Strawberry Shortcake for? What's wrong with you?
There's absolutely no valid reason for me to have read Strawberry Shortcake other than it looked cool, so I picked it up and I read it and I liked it.
Who wrote it?
Different people. The way it works is there's three stories. Let me look.
When you're reading it, did you like play with your Strawberry Shortcakes to the
scene? You know, unfortunately, I don't have any Strawberry Shortcake toys, but I need to rectify that situation shortly.
They smell nice.
That's what I've heard. I have natural
shortcake, blueberry, muffin. I have
no actual experience with Strawberry Shortcake toys. They're just not a part of my life in any
I bought some for my niece, and they do smell nice.
Like, I've heard
my
about
sister, my sisters had those.
They have like orange and blueberry and strawberry and
they're all
orange
blossoms,
lemon meringue, and
lemon meringue.
Yeah. So the first story is Strawberry Shortcake making a cake, and she orders some ingredients for it, but unfortunately she gets the wrong ingredients, and so she has to go find something that she can make out of like the 1,000 pineapples that she was delivered to her house. And all of her friends think that she's going on a trip to Hawaii, so they set up a surprise party for her, complete with like a gift basket that all of them put something special into the gift basket for themselves to make Strawberry Shortcake feel good on a trip to Hawaii. But she's not going to Hawaii.
They assume she's going to Hawaii because she got pineapples?
No, because she was asking. She asked for a book on it's on Luau Island, which is just, you know, Strawberry Shortcake version of Hawaii. And from the library, and everyone assumed that she was taking a trip there, but in fact, she was just doing some research on recipes.
When I'm not making your teeth, I am reading Strawberry Shortcake, motherfucker.
Absolutely.
While I'm making your teeth.
What do you do about it?
People can't do anything about it. When the next story is Strawberry Shortcake.
I think he's trying to balance us out with all our crust and
I gotta bring on some all ages while you're talking about your pervert. I think that's all I have to talk about today.
People getting ripped in half.
Version.
Black Kiss. Stuff. I mean, that's like borderline triple X. I mean,
not that is a porn comic, Mike. I read Black Kiss. That is a porn comic.
I got aroused.
The first 3 inches of that is just like it's a straight up porn book, Mike. There's nothing border about that. Like, there's no way to read that and go, oh no.
I thought more arousing than watching a porn, so. What is this?
No, like, yeah, I flipped through the first 3 issues of Black Kiss 2.
Oh, yeah, that was the one I read, number 2. Oh my god.
It's ridiculous.
A lot of erect penis in that one.
It's a lot of erect penis. It's like just like.
And then the girls worship it.
Of a blowjob or whatever, right in the beginning of the thing.
You're as hung as a horse.
So are these Black Kiss? Is a new Black Kiss in plastic or?
I don't know because I get it from DCBS.
Yeah, it must not be because the original one was, wasn't it? Back in the day.
Shops really give a shit anymore. At least.
Yeah. Well, nowadays, they don't even put, like, for mature readers or anything on it.
No.
Well, they probably do on Black Kiss, but...
If I was a comic shop owner, I would, like, have that on a top shelf, so you have to be at least 6 foot
the counter.
Shit. Behind the counter. Do you want this? Because, man, it's just, like, you could get into big trouble, I could imagine, like...
Well, if kids actually went to comic
shops... Imagine if a kid picked up that, and then... Picked up a cross. Oh my god.
like, what if they picked up like Nick Fury and were like, I like this art style. What else has this guy done?
Well, I'm waiting for the comic code to come back. All we need is some senator to come and say, did you read the latest issue of Crossed?
someone gets like a stick up their ass and they deliver.
And I do wonder about Crossed. That. Someone, when I'm reading these books, I'm like, you know, like 20 years ago, you could not get away with this stuff.
Comics are dead, and so no one gives a shit anymore about what you guys are reading, so you don't have to worry about like anyone coming in to ruin
it. I know.
Shit.
What are they going to say? Like, do you realize 2,000 people read this?
Yeah.
Take it or cut it down. All United States.
Yeah, look at the sales number and go.
That's how many variant covers there are, 2,000. So it's like to the same person.
Yep. Like, they're all like, yeah, you look at the sales list for some of these books, and you're just, you know what?
Yeah. I mean, because literally, like, they're under 5,000, they're going to be like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Is Abe still publishing the Strawberry Shortcake?
Issue one. I only read issue one. I think that's the only one that's out so far.
Oh, I thought they were already, like, in trades. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Okay, let me check Amazon. Strawberry Shortcake. Those movies.
Uh-oh. You lost Micah for a while.
Oh, am I gone?
No, here, I hear you.
You're going to be gone down a... The internet's going to suck you into a path of strawberry shortcake.
Okay. Last week. Ooh, I can...
It is.
Yes.
Well, look, here's some of it's on YouTube.
Let me double check.
So, along with stores being in trouble, one of the things I'm starting to have to worry about is not accidentally leaving my comics lying around the house.
Oh, I can't imagine. I'm very open with Barb. I'll show her what I'm reading. That way she doesn't discover it. You know what I mean? And say, what the fuck? Yeah. Well, like I say, Barb, look, here's Black Kiss. Or I'm reading Fashion Beast right now. I've had her look through Fashion Beast to say, you don't have to read it, Barb, but what the fuck just happened? Just so it's like, yeah. But I can't imagine, like, you'd have to have that in, like, a shelf somewhere very high.
Well, my kids aren't at the age where they're, like, seeking it out, but my daughter can read, so if I had to be careful not to actually...
I wouldn't worry about the reading. I wouldn't worry about the text.
Yeah, I guess it is one.
Yeah, it's a comic book.
Luckily, neither...
Very visually depictive.
Yeah. So I make sure I keep that stuff... Well, I would never leave like a cross laying around the house accidentally, but there's some of the other stuff that's more borderline.
But does Melanie know that it's borderline?
See, what that I'm reading? I don't know.
The answer is no, folks.
Yeah, I mean, she knows I...
Okay,
she knows the horror and stuff like that, so...
much. The first...
I don't read Black Kiss.
So. Out of print. I'm not listening to you guys anymore.
I don't read that porno stuff.
The Black Kiss, too?
Mike does.
Go ahead, Mike.
Mike wants more of that. No, the first trade
of Strawberry Shortcake is
out and already out of print. There's no penis in Strawberry Shortcake.
We should use that as our tagline for the episode.
then we would be looked at.
You can put a pull quote on the back of the book.
Yep.
No geek front.
If you want to, you can pre-order the second trade of Strawberry Shortcake. It comes out in January.
Did you get it from Amazon?
No, I got it from the bookstore.
Comic book store.
Apparently, it's a year. If I would do any due diligence, it's a year old, and apparently that's the reason why I got it for a quarter. So. It looked new.
Yeah, I thought it was because I haven't seen Ape publishing that in a while. I looked through previews, so I was like, oh, where did that come from?
Quarter bin. That's where it comes from. Oh, it was cute. It was fun.
What else you got?
I have no idea. That was an exciting thing I read all week.
I'll tell you about Black Kiss number 2. Mike could add in this a little bit.
Or 4.
Okay, so Black Kiss number 1 was pretty much about an orgy scene in the Titanic with one woman. And that one woman turned out to be a succubus. And the succubus, I guess, transferred her, I don't know what you could say, seed or whatever, to this other guy. And this other guy became somewhat of another succubus. But now this succubus is in Hollywood, I think in the 40s. I can't remember the date, the time frame. It doesn't matter when you read this, because there's really not a lot of... But he's in the 40s, and he's got an extremely big wiener. And lots of girls like it. Like, this one girl is sucking his penis, and it kept on getting bigger and bigger. And he gave her his seed, and then she became a succubus. So now they're both succubuses, and they're having sex everywhere. And there's not really a lot of stuff between the pages, other than there's a lot of menage a trois. This is nasty.
Geek Brunch may contain adult content at this time. Please use your best judgment.
At some time in one of these books, someone has their dick bitten off.
I felt maybe it was in this book. It was in this book. There was this one dude getting his dick sucked, and she just took the fucker off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of sex in here, a lot.
And how's the art? Good. Good chicken or bad chicken?
Well,
it'll be good because this is creator owned stuff.
I don't think there is bad Chaykin. I've always been a Chaykin fan, and I think he draws sexy women. I mean, some people might say they have big chins, but I don't know. But I think it's really good Chaykin.
I figured it would be.
People are really, really weird.
Yeah, it's issues 3 and 4 are already out, so I'm behind on this. But
you should get a hit on this.
There's no, at the back. Okay, so it's got, on this cover, it's got like a girl in a negligee with these really tight panties, like just covering her area. And then she's got like a iron collar around her neck and a pole attached to it. And I guess it's pulling it. I don't know. And then on the back, if you flip it, it says rated M for mature.
Should be rated adult.
But rated M for mature is what? Over 13? I don't know.
No, I think it's 17.
17?
I would hope so, at least.
I don't think there is a...
Well, there's no official like comic book rating
official
thing. I think about video games, because in video games it's 17 for mature games, even though like...
Well, I think the video game and the comic ones are very similar. So like, if it's rated M for mature, then it's like your zombie game or something. But this is more... It's not... There is some violence, like you see the penis getting bit off, and you see some other stuff, but it's mostly sex.
And there's some vile shit going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
There's a lot of seed swapping. Black Kiss number 2, buy it.
I'd say flip through it in the store, find out some children if you could. Show some parents when they walk by.
So was it on the top shelf of your store?
I've never seen it in my store.
It's in it's not the one store that I go to sometimes. They can't actually sell it because of North Carolina having arcane blue laws, and so you can't sell smut within like so many feet of a church, and there's a giant church right beside the store, so.
But can they sell crust?
Nope. I mean, they can. I mean, because no one's going to
go in the store.
go in and look for it. But like, there was a thing
you can,
about
you
like,
can't even pre-order it, or they can't shelve it. Like let's say if I was ordering from previews and I was a pool customer, could I order crossed?
I don't think so, because I think it's like if you went to a video, if there's like a video store nearby or whatever, and you like pre-ordered a movie, like you pre-ordered like Avengers XXX. And they stuck it in your thing, but it wasn't on shelves. I think that still might be against the rules, I think.
Hmm.
I just remember there was a thing about heavy metal, like, a while ago. Like, they couldn't sell heavy metal.
Because there's boobs. Hey, is it sad that I was for my porn reference, I was going to go to a Batman XXX?
No, like, those are the only porns, like porn titles I can think of are just insert famous property, add XXX to title.
Justice League XXX.
Yeah.
That's the way it used to be, though, right? Like, in the olden days, they'd be like, they'd take like a popular movie and turn it into like a rated X title. But that was back in the day.
Well, they also used to have, but they also had a lot of porns that were just like porn movie story things or what have you. But whereas now,
the amateur now it's all game done.
Well, now the amateur game is taking over the internet, like it's taking over porn, and so
they've lost the delicate art.
I can't believe you didn't read Black Kiss. I'm surprised, Bill.
Yeah, I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Bill. What happened to you?
You're waiting for trade. Wait for trade. I'll have it all collected.
I don't know why I didn't get the first issue. I'll research it. I'll get back to you.
Did you read the original then?
So not all of it. I was waiting for the trade.
I'm very curious to see if the original is this crazy.
I think it was. I remember at the time it was very controversial when it came out. And I'm pretty sure at least the first issue came like in a bag. Sealed in a bag. If I'm remembering correct. Like the Death of Superman. It was right next to the Death of Superman.
Really?
Yeah, don't accidentally grab the wrong one.
Yeah, that could be a mistake.
No, it wasn't that next to it.
Like, you know, you go to the store and you mean to grab like the chicken
mommy,
soup.
Mommy,
you accidentally grab like the potato Superman soup instead because they're beside it. You know,
they're actually going for quite a bit on eBay, so this might be
the
a
original.
No, even the second. I mean, even the second one.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I can just go buy these then and sell them on eBay.
Number ones are up. So, yeah. That's because there's not that much in print, I would imagine.
When did that come out, the first one?
It's been about 4 months ago. It's been coming out pretty regularly.
Yeah, issue 4 is already out, so like they're on a roll.
I clearly remember when the first series came out, though.
Was I even alive when the first one came out?
It was the 80s. It was probably 87. No.
Okay. 86. So I was barely 86? Oh, then it's a chance that I wasn't alive yet.
It's right around when you were. It might have been right around. You're probably right around when you're conceived. Not saying there's any connection.
I'm going to guess no on that one.
Well, there's actually, you could get the hardcover, the original, for like $14 new. That's not bad.
Oh.
I might buy that.
Mike is all in.
I'm all in, man. Literally.
You can get the hard, yeah, the hardcover is not bad.
Black Kiss. I don't think you're going to get anything other than in the terms of story yet. Like, there is a loose story in there.
It has
something to do with Hollywood, too. Like when they're cutting over movies from black and whites to color or something like that, introducing sound. But it's mostly, I wonder if back in the 40s there was a lot of porn going on. I don't know.
There was.
Yeah.
There's always been porn, Mike. There's never been a time where there wasn't porn. It's a universal constant.
That's why they created video, right?
But I thought porn became really big in the 70s, like huge.
As a concentrated industry, it became big. But the purchasing of illicit material has always been a large factor in Western societies. Not just Western ones, but like as far as that kind of thing goes, yeah.
Society.
There are records of people like a long time ago just paying money to watch other people have sex. Like it's been a thing that it's gone on for quite a long time. So.
Well, and they used to have those little viewers or whatever, right? Where you turned a crank and.
Yeah, you could have like there were those things like they're just a series of pictures and you could like flip like a flip book of like.
They still have those like at Manitou Springs. Like, you could put a quarter in and you could see one of those, but they're, like, so tame.
They're atrocious. I remember when I was, like, 14 or 15 years old, some friends and I found one, and we were, like, flipped through it, and we were like, oh, goodness.
Yeah, it's like Peep Show, but it's really not nasty in today's terms. But back then, I guess it was. The fact that women were just wearing bra and underwear. But that was Black Kiss 2. I'm surprised. So, the only thing I'm surprised is that Bill hadn't buy it.
The Bill hasn't. Yeah. I've seen it and Bill hasn't. That is bizarre.
I'm sorry,
I let you down.
Let me down. So I got one. Transfusion number one. Have you guys heard about that?
No.
It's Transfusion number one from IDW, Vampires versus Robots. In the future, we make so many machines. This is really going to happen. We make so many machines that the machines start hunting us down and drinking our blood. And that pisses off the vampires. Because the vampires need us to survive.
Hold up. Why are the robots drinking our blood?
Because instead of having to run off of oil, they run off of blood.
All right, who designed these shitty robots?
Who designed this robot? You should need to build a time machine to go back and fuck that dude up for having this terrible idea.
What should we have them run off of? How about blood?
Yeah, all right, how about we harvest humans for this? Oh, great idea, great idea. Let's do that. Sorry, Mike.
It's awesome, though. It really is.
Idea.
Bill, doctor, why don't we have him run off plants? No, blood. It must be blood.
This is Steve Niles' book.
Yes. And it's very, like, the art is very, like, the art is by Mention 3, which I've never heard of.
What's that? Is that like
it almost looks like a...
it's like a Ashley Wood type.
Ashley Wood type art. Yeah, you've heard of Mention 3 then?
Yeah, he was actually at the Wizard World in Chicago.
Yeah. So it's very much in like 30 Days of Night type look and feel, except maybe more of a painted style. But he does draw these robots pretty cool. They're like these floating monsters. These humans are actually trying to find food, and they find like a cornfield, and they're like, yeah, we could have corn. And then these robots start floating above the cornfield, and it just like annihilates them and starts sucking the blood. The robots, they like have these blood ingesters where they'll like slice your head off and then drink the blood. The robot arm will come out and then pour it into the mouth of the robot. And there's vampires, and that doesn't like the vampires hate the robots because they're eating all their food supply. So there's going to be like a huge battle. Transfusion number one from IDW. Check it out.
It's good.
I liked it. I think you might like it. It's not a lot. Like, it's not real dense. Like, you can probably read it in 5 minutes. But I enjoyed it. Of course, I'm a Steve Niles fan.
You checked out any of them? Have the Marvel number one started coming out yet? It's November, right?
I've been staying away, actually, Micah. I've been good.
Good job by you.
Uncanny X-Men is the only one. The Uncanny Avengers. I get all confused with the damn.
I can't wait. Like a year or two from now, all these titles will revert to something that actually makes sense, and I'll be in a happier place. Avengers. What? Oh, I don't know. I'm not reading any of these things.
How about you, Bill?
I haven't got any yet, but I think I might have pre-ordered something.
Like, I'm waiting on the dust to settle on all this stuff and see what's good. I'll wait on the trades. If anyone tells me that, no, this book is fantastic, then I might hop on that. But I read another book.
What do you got?
I read 47 Ronin by Mike Richardson and Stan Sakai.
Oh, I want to read that.
It's good. It's good. I wasn't sure what it was at first. Like, I was afraid that it was going to be about the awful Keanu Reeves movie that's never going to come out. But apparently, if it is, it doesn't seem like it.
It might be based on the same thing. Isn't it based on the story?
It's a well-known story. But I thought that this might have been, because it was Dark Horse, I wasn't entirely certain if it was going to be an original thing or they were like doing the adaptation of the never-to-come-out movie. But right. No, this appears to just be another retelling of the 47 Ronin story. It's only a 5-issue miniseries. And so it's told kind of in the form of a flashback from one of the survivors, sort of. It's Stan Sakai artwork, so it looks gorgeous. And it's told very well. Stan is brilliant as far as storytelling goes.
He's one of the best visual storytellers out there. He's a master.
It's weird because, I read Usagi Yojimbo, and I understand how good he is, but because he's been pumping out one book for 20 something years now, it seems like he's always forgotten about how awesome. He's really, really good.
But you take it for granted, right? Because it's just a consistent
it's
thing
consistent. The book
out.
Always comes out. It's not late. It just keeps coming out, and every issue continues to be another good story. And but this is cool because it's in color. So,
is it?
Yeah.
What?
See, who does the coloring? Coloring by Laverne Kinzerski. No idea who that is. Oh, this book has a Japanese consultant. I need to get that gig. But yeah, no, not a standard story. It's a retelling of the 47 Ronin story, which is about 47 Ronin, all of whom die. Not all of them, but for the most part, it's how the story is. But it's really good. It's just cool to see Stan doing this as opposed to doing, anthropomorphic animals. So, even though it looks mostly the same.
I don't think I've read too much Stan Sakai. Usually when I read him, he's doing
Strange Tales?
Yeah, something like a Marvel or the last one I read was a Rocketeer. You know how they're doing the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anthology.
Yeah, I usually read it in an anthology. I never read Usagi Yojimbo or this 47 Ronin.
Well, try 47 Ronin. Only 5 issues. You get in and out quickly.
Hey, Bill, do you want to talk a little bit about Fashion Beast?
You can talk about it. Sure, we can talk about it.
Well, you didn't offer anything in number one. You said...
I offered as much as I could offer. What was your take on number one? There's some girl and there's some club. She's a coach check girl, and then there's a club, and then people are staring at her dancing, and then that was the end.
Well, what I got out of issue one is there's this weird fucker who's probably deformed, and somehow he's in charge of a big industry of the catwalk or something like that. It's called Celestine or something like that.
Yeah, they got the factory.
Yeah, and they never really show them, but they pump out fashion. And there's these two women that are the judges of fashion that work for him, and he just sits above a window and he taps on the glass and he communicates that way. I don't know what the fuck's going on. But these two women, they look like apes. They look like they have ape features, at least on the covers and stuff they do. But this woman who they make you think is a man, at least that's the way I thought. In other words, it's a woman that grew up with a penis or didn't have a penis or a man that didn't have a penis. I don't know what. They make you think she's some kind of transsexual, she's a man, but she's not a man. I don't know. It's hard to explain. But later on you learn she's a woman. She really is a woman.
Okay.
But she checks in coats.
Yeah, I thought she was a woman born as a man.
There you go. A woman born as a man. And it looks like she doesn't have a chest, so you think it's a man. But he dresses like Marilyn Monroe. And she checks in coats, and then this one chick comes in. I think she's gay. I'm not sure. I would say she is. later on you learn she is. She's making fun of her the whole time. And eventually she steals all the coats and gets her fired. That's what happens in issue one. Issue two.
And then she dances.
Yeah, issue two, she's pissed off she doesn't have a job. One of those guys that she checks the coats in gets her job, so she lost her job. She meets these weird... None of the people look attractive in this book. I don't know what it is, but even the ones that are models don't look attractive. It looked like something out of Judge Dredd. Like, there's this one model in issue two that looks like she got Smilex, if you know what I mean, like from Batman 19... What is it? When did Batman come out? 1989?
Yeah.
It looks like she's got Smilex on, and her face is all deformed, and she thinks she can make it and show herself, because they're taking auditions for this catwalk.
What's the art?
Facundo Percio.
Absolutely.
Facundo Percio! She gets in line to model... Or whatever, and then the guy taps on the glass like, I want her. So she gets a job and finds out that the girl that got her fired from the first job is the makeup artist, and you know, for this company. So then there's like a little conflict of interest because that girl is doing her dresses and makeup and all that stuff. And at first she has the power, and then she like pouts and leaves. She leaves the place with the dress on because she doesn't like that tomboy girl giving her shit all the time. And she gets beat up by a bunch of... Man, this is weird comic. There's these women that look like schoolgirls, but in... I don't know. It's such a weird book. And then they beat the crap out of her and destroy the dress. And then she's worried because the dress is destroyed that both of them are going to get fired. But the girl, the one guy that has the deformed face is still infatuated by her and gives her a job at $50,000 a year formally to be a model. And now she has the power over the tomboy. And that's issues 1 through 3. Exhausting. But it's weird. It's like, why would you publish a comic book? It's got like a science fiction Blade Runner feel to it. I don't know, something dark.
I liked the feel, and I liked the world they were creating.
Yeah.
My only problem with it, I just had no idea where the story was gonna go. The first issue was hard to tell. I figured that girl was the main character, but I had no idea like what the story was gonna be about.
Yeah, they have never shown the guy's face, but they keep talking about the guy like he's got some deformed face. And it does get a little more sci-fi-ish because it sounds like a winter is going to happen, like a post-apocalyptic winter where things are just going to get really nasty. You know what I mean? So it like takes place in this weird world. But there's fashion in this weird world. So it's like Road Warrior with fashion and catwalks and stuff. I don't know. I guess that's what I describe it as.
Yeah, I'm kind of seeing that as like... One of the big things in their society is fashion. Like, that's what they hold in highest regard.
Yeah. It's just that nobody they show is beautiful. So I wonder if Alan Moore has some kind of... I don't know.
I'm sure it's a statement of some sort. It's
a statement of something that, like, this industry really sucks and nobody that's in it is really beautiful. I don't know. Is there... At least after reading it... That's what I'm getting as a message, but it's hard to tell because it's not very intuitive where the story is going. Do you know what I mean? But it's intriguing.
I gotta say it was memorable because, I mean, I read a lot of comics and I still remember – I didn't know what the first issue was about, but I certainly remember certain scenes from it and the look and feel of it.
Yeah.
So it sticks with you in that sense. I'm curious to see where the story goes. I may end up getting the collection if it actually resolves well.
I'm glad I bought it. And like I said, I think the only two books I don't buy that are Avatar are Dicks and What is the other one? Hero Worship. And I don't know why I didn't buy Hero Worship, but...
I didn't like the first issue.
Yeah. I heard it was good.
It sucked.
Except from you.
I didn't... It was okay. It wasn't that great. It wasn't that good. It sucked. Maybe I'm comparing it to their other books. It let me down as an Avatar book. It was very non-Avatar. That's for sure.
I read Evil Ernie number one. Did you check that out?
No, I never got into Evil Ernie.
I didn't either. I've read maybe four or five Evil Ernie comics over the course of my life. And I think I've read more Lady Death than I have Evil Ernie. Because Evil Ernie usually was working for Lady Death at one time. At least when, was it Chaos Comics that was publishing Lady Death and all of Paluto's creations?
Yeah, I think it was probably his company.
Yeah, Chaos. And what happened is he went bankrupt. So he lost the rights to every single character, at least that I believe, except he reacquired the rights to Lady Death. So
did he lose the rights or sold the rights?
I think he lost them because he went bankrupt. And I think somebody could acquire them, and he might have bought them through bank. You know, when you go bankruptcy, you could sell some of your assets, I guess.
So someone bailed him out or whatever.
So Evil Ernie, I think, was one of those. And it's interesting enough that, like, you open up the comic, you'd think created by Brian Polito or whatever his name is, and you don't see that. So it's like, this one was written by Jesse Blaze Snyder, who I think is the son of Twisted Sister. I think.
It is.
Full of shit, but.
I want to rock!
We're not gonna take it! The art is by Jason Craig. And it was a weird opening. It opens up, they're driving down a car, and the woman's pregnant, and his husband's trying to drive him to the hospital, and the son's there's a son in the car, and they end up crashing the woman with the baby. I think all of them are killed, except for the baby that is in the woman's belly, and the baby's born and I guess grows up through foster families. Well, this one kid annihilates an entire town. An entire town and is given the death sentence. That's Evil Ernie. And he's killed 665 people, and he's on the chair getting ready to be electrocuted. And the thing is he's got this weird button, and he could, like, look at people, and he could see, like, if the people are evil. So he, like, only kills evil people. So, like, he looks at the one guy who's the warden from the prison, and he looks at him, and what he sees is the warden with horns and a billy, you know, one of those goatees. And on the top of his head, it says pedophile. So he actually sees the sin of the people that he looks at. So none of the people that he kills are good people. Like, it shows a... You know how people can witness the death of, or somebody being electrocuted, I guess, if you're the family or whatever, you can go see them. Well, there's like an audience waiting for him to be executed, and there's a lot of them. Well, half of them are fucking demons. Like, they're not good people, supposedly. And there's only one female doctor that believes that everything that he's saying is true. And essentially at the end, he becomes Evil Ernie, but I liked it. And the only reason I didn't even pre-order it, I picked it up at the shop after I read the preview. You know how sometimes they have a preview?
Yeah.
I liked it a lot, so I was like, I'm going to check it out. So I liked it.
So I looked up the history of Chaos Comics.
Yeah.
And it said that, so they went bankrupt and Tales of Wonder bought all the characters. But before they went bankrupt, they had sold Lady Death to CrossGen.
Oh.
So, and then CrossGen went bankrupt, and Avatar bought Lady Death, the rights to Lady Death.
Oh, so Avatar, yeah. Even though they don't get solicited under Avatar, there's another publisher, but they're published by Avatar. And I don't know if Avatar was, like, cool and said, Brian, you're in control of everything, but he actually controls that other company.
Okay.
Whatever it's called. It begins with a B.
Interesting.
He's a really cool guy. Like, if you go talk to him, like, at a con or something, he's, like, just like any other person. And he'll talk to you about anything. I think when I was talking to him, I at the time I was reading his Lady Death from that company, and I think I just had a couple of Tom Scholey sketches, and turns out Brian is a huge Kirby fan, so he was like, "Those are fucking awesome."
You can always, people always come together over Kirby.
Yeah, well, I like him a lot because he likes Kirby as much as I. You know, he is using all kinds of references and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I like. Matter of fact, not to change the conversation, but I just bought my two oldest Kirby comics, and I couldn't resist. And I know it was bad because they were expensive, but I have what I consider two pristine copies of Fighting American by Simon and Kirby from 1955 and 56. And I just never seen any comics in such good shape from that time period. Yeah, I mean, the pages are just nice and white, and oh man. Wow. And I got them at a really good price because I got them like for 40% off, and he was already discounting them quite a bit, and he bought a huge collection for really cheap, and they're golden age, and god damn, these comics tempt me every time just because I'm a history buff. I mean, I love comics, and to see such a pristine collection from the 50s and 40s is, like, just amazing.
What was the title? Fighting American? Is that what you said?
Fighting American by Simon and Kirby. Yeah, it was like a 11-issue or 8-issue series. The publisher was even obscure. The price, the cover price on these is 10 cents.
Nice.
So, it tells you that, man, these are old books. And I have them in front of me, and they look amazing. His style at the time is very different. And one thing I didn't realize is that, Simon inked his work at the time. So Kirby drew it, Simon inked it, and Simon wrote it. So that was very I'm proud to have, as a Kirby fan, I am proud to own two books prior to his explosion as a creator, with Marvel.
So is this his first stuff or just very
early? No, it's not his first stuff. He's been doing stuff since he was a kid, man.
Yeah.
But it's very early in his career, the Simon and Kirby years before Marvel.
Right.
So it was probably post-Captain America, you know what I mean? Because I think Captain America's been around since the 40s. But they're awesome. And I told Barb I would stay away for a while. Surprisingly, there's not a lot of demand for Golden Age. Like, as much as there is for Silver Age. Like, if you were to pop up and sell, like, some of the early Fantastic Fours or, some of those early Marvels, they usually sell pretty damn quick, like relatively quick within the store. But you pop up stuff that's, pre 1960 and it doesn't sell that fast.
Yeah.
The price is also pretty expensive, but
the price. And I think the people who are primarily buying comics now have a more of a connection to the Silver Age stuff.
Yeah, so yeah, I think do that's I.
With age,
because that's when they were young or whatever. Yeah. That's what they remember.
Like my favorite Kirby is the '70s Kirby, the DC Kirby, and that's because that when I was a kid.
Yeah, you're a kid.
Yeah. So yeah, but I am such a Kirby fan that I'm just happy to have them. My oldest Kirby books. Not my oldest book in my collection. I have a Blue Beetle from 1946 or something like that.
I don't even know what my oldest is. I'm sure I have some from the 60s. I don't know if I have 50s.
You know what's really taken off as far as price is the
Bronco. I got a lot from the 80s.
That's when things weren't worth that much.
I got a lot from the 80s and 90s, and I have a good number of 70s books. My oldest book is probably like X-Men number like 5 or 6, something like that. Like from the original run, but that's about as old as I got.
Probably worth more than this Kirby Golden Age stuff, but man, is this like, to me, this is like one of my prize collect, you know, because I don't have anything that old Kirby, and I could never afford a Captain America, so right. Having the Fighting American's good enough for me.
Close enough.
Yeah.
He's a fighting, Captain America is a fighting American.
He's got a sidekick, just like Bucky. His name is Speed Boy. Fighting American and Speed Boy. Interesting enough, I have some of the Liefeld Fighting Americans. Because Liefeld, in the 90s, I think, when he was Awesome Comics, acquired the rights to do some Fighting American. And interesting enough, I said that word twice in a row. There's a Fighting American by Stephen Plath or Platt. Do you remember that guy? He was
Splat.
Splat.
I love Splat.
He was huge in the 90s there for a while.
You were doing that Moon Knight run?
Yeah, the Moon Knight run. Do you remember that in Prophet? The guy was like in the Wizard top 10 at the time.
He was a cover boy on Wizard every month. Splat.
So, I'm interested in seeing these Fighting Americans if I could find them in a Dimes All Day box.
Yeah, I got the 5 issues of Fighting American.
Cool.
Liefeld era. Apparently there was at least 3 series. Fighting American, Fighting American Dogs of War, and Fighting American Rules of the Game. I have various issues from all of those. I have Fighting American 1 and 2. I should read those.
The one I'm trying to acquire is, I think it's one from the 90s, or maybe, yeah, it was the 90s, where DC acquired the rights to it, and I don't own that one. Mm. And I'm already like a DC completist, so I want to try to search that one out.
And that one shouldn't cost you much.
Yeah.
See, 94.
Those ones I probably could acquire from my comic shop or something for really cheap. Because there's no demand for them.
No, no one wants, you can get those for nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing, honey.
So I read some comics.
What do you got?
What should I start with? Do you want me to start with my... Should I do a Micah and start with my all-ages book, or should I jump to my...
No, just go gross.
Go gross and end with all-ages? End with
the cleanser.
Yeah. Cleanse the palate after feeling so dirty.
Mike, you didn't talk about... We'll go in between. And I know you read this, Mike. Cyberforce number 1.
Oh, yeah, I did read that.
So this was the free Cyberforce, because they did a Kickstarter to publish 4 free issues that only cost comic shops, I don't know, 50 cents or something to stock. And it was good.
I liked it a lot. Because
yeah, it was actually really good.
One thing I really liked about it is, like, I have some familiarity with Cyberforce, like, especially Velocity. Yeah. And you know, Ripclaw, some of the more popular ones, but I never really, I think Cyberforce was one of the teams that I just bought maybe issue 1 and 2 of. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I read a few issues of Ripclaw, and then I read all like the new brand new Velocity series that just came out. And man, it was good. Because it had like a, I thought you'd like it, Bill, because it had like a post-apocalyptic sci-fi
It was completely post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. And I was like, Bill's going to love this. He's going to love it. And it was free. How could you not like it?
Bill's going to absolutely love this. Free post-apocalyptic comics. Yeah, and it's weird because when you start reading, there's like three different voices talking. Because there's the people talking like word balloons, and then there's two like voiceovers talking to each other. So at first, and they don't like tell who the voiceovers are, and you got to kind of figure it out. But it didn't take me long to figure out who's who.
Yeah, me neither. I was able to figure it out.
And I'm like you. I don't have a big background in Cyber Force, so I thought they did a really good job of. Now, is this like in continuity kind of with the old Cyber Force, or is this like a whole brand new take on them?
I think it's a brand new take on them because they were more, to me, it didn't have that post-apocalyptic feel.
Yeah, in the old
book. If I remember correctly. But the names were familiar to me. Like, they had mentioned, was it Ballistic, Ripclaw, and Velocity. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple other ones, which I remembered their names, but I don't remember their powers or what they did. Except for Ripclaw, he was kind of like top shelf Wolverine, you know? Not top shelf, top cow. If it was about top shelf, it would have been Jeffrey Brown or something talking about sticking a finger in a butt or something.
How did I know you always go to the fingers in the butt?
I tried to get Barb to read that, Clumsy, to see what she thought about it, because it does have an autobiographical feel, and I don't think she got past like 20 pages. What is this trash?
It's very, it's super self-indulgent, in my opinion. It's very popular, though, so I'm trying to find the page. I'm flipping through. Here we go. I was flipping through the pages trying to find the scene where they introduce all the characters. So it starts out. Who's the main character? The girl?
She's Velocity. The main character is one of the voices that's the daughter to the one woman that has power, like that Sender prince.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it starts out with Velocity running, and then she runs into these dudes in an alley. These homeless-looking dudes in the alley, and then they introduce themselves, and they're all the Cyber Force dudes. It was good. And the art was good. It was very Silvestri-esque, but he didn't do the art. It's Koi Pham did the art. But it had a Silvestri style to it, I thought.
Yeah.
To it.
I thought it was fantastic. I kind of felt bad I didn't.
Didn't support it?
Didn't support it, yeah. I try to support a lot of the Kickstarters that I would have supported it. It's just one of those things that you say you're like, I almost forgot about the Eric Powell until Daryl reminded me.
Yeah, I didn't support it just because I don't have any history with Cyber Force, so there's no.
Well, I think the concept is really cool to offer it free, but. Man, every time they try to bring a price down or something, it fails, and I don't understand. Like, they've tried in the past, like with even Marvel, when they try to do like Untold Tales of Spider-Man and a couple other things to make comic books cheaper and affordable, and they fail. So I don't blame a company for charging what they charge, because those are what their bread makers are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're gonna if they're gonna sell 60,000 copies at $2.99 and still sell 60,000 copies at $3.99, what would you choose if you're the business? So
yeah, so this is an interesting experiment, but I guess they got the money up front for it, so at least I'm assuming they're breaking even on this.
Yeah, I think we get 4 or 5 issues, but I think the issue number one was good enough for me. Like, I enjoyed it quite a bit that if I had to pay $2.99, I would have went for it. Yeah, I would have picked it up because it did everything a first issue should. It, like, introduced stuff. It introduced the world that we live in. and the characters that are going to be part of that world, and it set it up. It's like, and it's intriguing enough to, at least for me, to pick up the other stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to be picking up. I'm going to be picking up all the free issues.
I don't know why you wouldn't. Like, I couldn't convince Knutson to do it. And he's like, well, I don't know the Cyberforce. He has this weird mentality where he thinks he has to go and read every single Cyberforce comic before he can read issue number one. I don't understand that. I just can't get past it. Because back in the day, we could just pick up a book and read. Now it's a little harder, but you still can do it. It might take you two or three more issues, and if they're free, they're free. If you don't like it,
if it's a new series, it shouldn't have the same sort of baggage that an older series does.
Right, and especially something like this that's based on something in the past, you're going to figure that even if it continues from the old story, they're going to give you enough of a recap. They're not going to assume that people remember what happened the very last issue, you know. So it's written for people who either haven't read it before or haven't read it in a while.
Right.
So you know they're going to give you enough.
And you don't even have to know. Like, you didn't know Velocity. But you can follow her character, right? She's somebody running away, and she has a senator for her mom. Mm-hmm. Or was it a senator? Or is she a prince?
Something like that.
Royalty? Or...
I don't remember what she was. Yeah, I mean, she might have been royalty. The Queen Mum.
It was awful.
What was awful?
Your accent, I think. I think it was an accent.
It wasn't supposed to be an accent. Oh. It was a kind of a half-assed accent. I'm not going to do a real accent. I charge people for that. So I read another comic from Image. Number one, that was awesome. Bedlam, number one.
I didn't buy that one.
What is it?
Nick Spencer. The new Nick Spencer, Riley Rossimo book about a criminal named Bedlam. And it was really good. It was really, really good. It's kind of like so it starts out jumping from the past to the present, and it shows in the past there was this criminal called the Bedlam, and it opens with the police are at this scene where this guy has taken this building hostage, and they go inside, and this Bedlam character has killed all the people, and it's a theater, and he's killed all the people in the theater, and he's sitting there in front of this little girl talking to her, and he's gonna kill this girl, and then this superhero comes in, and they end up capturing, I think they end up capturing this Bedlam character, and then it jumps to the present, where there's this guy who he looks in the mirror and he sees I can't remember if he's in just an apartment. I think he's just in his apartment. And he's remembering back to some of these events, and he looks in the mirror and he sees, like, the Bedlam. So the Bedlam character, he wears, like, this mask over his face with this weird... has these round eyes, and I can't remember what shape the nose is. Round eyes, triangle nose, and then these, like, big red teeth. And the stuff that's in the past is, like, black and white with red. And then the present is color, so you can tell the difference between the two. So this guy, you don't know for sure if he was Bedlam or if he's becoming Bedlam or what. And then they jump back to the past where Bedlam is getting interrogated by this cop. And it goes on from there. So it follows kind of both the stories of what happened in the past and then what's happening with this guy in the future. And it's really, really good. It was really well written. And I love stories that are about the bad guy, so it was cool from that perspective. It's kind of like, he's almost like a Joker-type character. He's, like, crazy, essentially. He's just this crazy psychopath, so you're kind of getting to see the story from his perspective.
Now I want to get that one.
Should. And it's really big, too. It's like, it was cover price is $350, and I think it's like 48 pages or something. Like a double-sized issue.
I'll have to read it digitally.
And then near the end, there's like a crazy doctor. She got a crazy doctor character as well. And the art was really good. I mean, Riley Rossimo, I usually like. I'm a fan of his stuff, although some of his stuff I haven't liked as much. But this one is definitely really, really good Rossimo art.
Well, I think his art has always been good. It's just some of the projects he's been on lately is
fallen
flat with me. Not that his art style was bad in the book. It's just the story was killing me.
Yeah, he wrote
Rebel Blood and a couple others.
This is really good, though. And Nick Spencer will forever, of course, be remembered for his fantastic book, Forget List.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then he did...
But I think people know Morning Glories more than Forget List. We're the Forget List fans.
Morning Glories I didn't really care for. But then this is really good. This is actually... I think I may get the... I'm considering getting the single issues from this series. That should be a sign.
No, tell me.
I like it. It was good. I love stories about the bad guy.
Yeah, that was one that was really hard for me to. I've been trying to cut down my number ones to, even though I talked about all number ones. What the fuck? I've been trying to cut down on the number ones so I could get caught up a little bit. And now I'm reading a lot of old comics. So.
I read another number one DC comic this time. DC comic, but I don't know why it's a DC comic. Lot 13 by Steve Niles.
So he can make more money. That's probably why it's a DC comic.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that. It's like, why isn't this Vertigo? I'm like, if I sell twice as much if it's not Vertigo.
Yeah. I don't understand why some of the books, though, are solicited as DC. Like, this one sounds more like a Vertigo book.
Totally.
It would probably do better in, I would think, in the trades if it was a Vertigo book, don't you? Because the Vertigo usually excels in the trades.
Yeah, and I can see that people who normally buy Vertigo trades may miss this one because I think it's a superhero book. I mean, it is rated M for mature on the cover. But it's DC. I don't know, they had their reasons. It's good, though. So it's written by Steve Niles and art by Glenn Fabry, who, awesome art. He's done, like, Hellblazer in the past, right?
Yeah. Hellblazer covers. Yeah. I don't know if he's done the interiors.
Some of the interiors.
So he was really big for Preacher, I think.
Oh, yeah, Preacher.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen his art, it's kind of like a... It's like a more realistic painting style. It's kind of similar to... It's almost similar to an Eric Powell style. Like when Eric Powell does his nice painting work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of like that. Kind of like... I guess a little bit like Simon Bisley. It's good, though. It's really good. So this story is about... It starts out with back in the 1670, I think. There's these people who are getting tried because the husband killed himself and his family. And then it jumps to the present where it's this family who is moving from their apartment in the city to a place in the suburbs, and you get introduced to the parents and the kids. And it's written really well. I mean, it's Steve Niles, so the writing is great. The dialogue is real good. So they move to their new place in the suburbs, and they find that the place they're moving to isn't ready yet. It's being fumigated for bugs or whatever, so they can't move in. So then there's like this weird scene where they're driving to try and find a motel, and then all of a sudden this kid appears in the road and they smash into this kid and kill him. But then his body like disappears. And then they get out of the car and they see that they're next to this apartment building. So they're going to get rooms at this apartment building. And then at the end, there's this weird looking dude. And then I didn't notice this the first time I looked at the cover, but the cover is weird because it's a picture of the family, and then there's like a hidden like image of this weird, crazy, creepy dude.
I have that. I just haven't read it yet.
It's good. It's a good Steve Niles book, and the art is... Man, whenever I see art like this, I'm just like, some people just are so damn talented. It's like, what would it be like to have that much talent? I don't
know. Yeah. And he's very... I haven't seen him do a lot of interiors. And he's like a cover artist nowadays, you know?
Yeah, I can see why. I mean, I can't imagine how long it takes to do this. To do the detail of art. I mean, essentially, the interior is the same art style as that's on the cover, so... See why he doesn't do it very often. It's good. Steve Niles, he knows how to write. Then I read my all ages book, Bravest Warriors number one.
Never heard of it.
Is Micah still there?
I am still here. I've not heard of it either, but I cannot talk. I've been eating cookies.
So this was, you'll know when I tell you, it was created by Pendleton Ward.
Okay.
The creator of the very popular Adventure Time series.
Yep. Show is very popular.
Yeah, super popular. So Pendleton Ward is the guy who I wish I was. Probably in his 30s, and he's created this comic or this cartoon series that's a multi-million-dollar cartoon series.
Yep. That is super popular and yet manages also to be cool enough so that you're not, like, you know, weird for liking it.
Yeah, it's just taking a bunch of ideas and just putting them out there and having fun with it.
Yeah.
So this is a new series of his. It looks like... It's not a cartoon... Like an animated series on whatever channel it is, Cartoon Network. They have done like some like little episodes on YouTube. So I don't know if it's eventually going to get picked up by Cartoon Network or what's going on with it. But anyway, Kaboom is publishing this series. So this is the third Adventure Time book. They have Adventure Time. They have
Marceline and the Scream Queen.
And the Scream Queen, and then they're bringing out another one too.
I don't know what that one is.
The female versions of the two Adventure Time characters.
Oh, with Fiona and the other thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
I'm mad that I know that.
So this is the concept behind this one is there's these four teenage heroes. I don't know if they're superheroes, called the Bravest Warriors. And there's two stories in here. The first one, when they're watching, it's movie night, and they want to watch a movie, and it's a scary movie night, and the girl wants to watch a scary movie. This one dude wants to watch like a romantic movie. So to decide what they want to watch, they watch a bunch of trailers for some movies that are pretty funny. And then, oh yeah, this is good. And then at the end, they.
Ooh, this is really good.
This is good. This is where it gets really good right here.
It gets interrupted because they coming distress signal from these clowns on this planet of clowns. Creepy clowns. I really liked how. So this is written by, I don't know, Joey Como, who I don't even know who that is. Probably one of Pendleton Ward's friends. I like the way it was written. They when they first introduce the characters, they have like little bubbles that kind of explain them all. And one of the things I really liked throughout the story, there's kind of like hidden little things going on. Like at the very start of the story, they're making some food, and the one girl makes these. The girl character makes these cupcakes. And then throughout the story, the cupcakes are fighting each other. Like out of the top of the one cupcake comes this like big laser gun, and he shoots the other cupcake and makes him explode. And then the ghost of the cupcake that died is going after the cupcake that's alive. And it's kind of like an ongoing gag in the story.
Does your daughter read that?
She hasn't.
Hmm.
She could read it. It starts out that they're working on this one mission, which is trying to get rid of racism from this one.
Your volume is going all over the place.
Yeah, you got real weird there.
I wonder why. How am I now?
You're better. It's probably your USB port again.
Probably hate you.
Yeah.
Let me reconfigure my driver.
Yeah, bring it down and back up again.
We'll try. And the so that was funny. They also the movie trailers in it were pretty funny too. And then in one of the movies they go to it's about zombies. It's called The Zombie Food Court from Heck. And in the movie, or in the mall, in the trailer, they show like these different fake restaurants in it that are pretty funny. Like they have chicken on a shovel, taco sludge.
Chicken on a shovel sounds kind of awesome.
Noodles by Brian. Mystery fries.
That doesn't sound good. I'd be scared.
Favorite one. Mash your own potato. That's fun.
I would eat it, mash your own potato.
Potato?
Yeah. I wouldn't eat it, mash your own potato.
Mash your own potato restaurant. And then one of the trailers is for a movie called Space Sharks.
I'd watch that.
And it's like a shark in a space with water in the helmet. What was this? I gotta look to see what the second story was. I don't even remember this. Well, the second story, they're having a laser gun fight. That was okay. The first one was better, though. But overall, I really liked it. I went into it not really knowing anything about it, but I really enjoyed it. It was fun. It was a fun comic. I recommend it.
Hmm. All ages. We got two all ages books in this one. And yeah. A lot of filth. Oh, the only one that was really filthy was Black Kiss.
Yeah. But it's
really filthy.
Like even Fashion Beast isn't that filthy. It's more just weird.
Yeah, that's weird. That wasn't real.
I think we're going to need to reboot your USB port, because it's like you come in normal and then all of a sudden it goes low and then it goes back to normal. Is it just me, or are you hearing that too, Micah?
No, I'm hearing it. Like, he'll be there, and it'll be awesome, and then he won't be there anymore.
Yeah.
Check my, I don't know.
While you're doing that, I'll talk about... Let me see what I got. I'll talk about Night of the Living Dead.
After I saw that movie.
This one was very interesting. Because I got kind of stressed out in this one a little bit. Which is what you should get in a zombie book. Well, this takes place in Los Angeles, 1977. And it opens up with a scene that you're like, this is weird. Because this girl looks like a zombie, right? And she's almost naked, so she looks, and she's bald. And she's going to this guy, and he's like, no, please. And then she goes up to him, and she kisses him right in the mouth. So you're like, oh, fuck, the guy's going to be a zombie because she bit him in the mouth. And then she goes down and unzips his pants and starts giving him a blowjob.
Of course she does.
And then the phone rings. And then so this what really happened is she wasn't really a zombie, but they were acting like, and he had zombie props in the background so they could like have like a sexual experience where they were,
yeah,
was pretending to be a zombie and suck his dick.
Zombie play.
Yeah.
Real big.
But it turns out that this guy's like the guitarist for a rock band. And the girl is the lead singer for this rock band. And they're called the Creeping Flesh. And so they were just having sex. So they get their props. They stick it into an old car. And they're on their way to play at a rock concert because that's what their band is playing. But it turns out that in Los Angeles at this time, they think the Night of the Living Dead outbreak has been contained. But in Los Angeles, there's another outbreak. So they get pulled over by some cops, and she still has some of her zombie makeup on. So these guys are like, I'm going to shoot you. And they're like, we're not zombies. We're part of the band, the Creeping Flesh. So they go into this concert club. They're dressed up, and then all of their followers dress up like zombies. So these cops are like fucked, right? I mean, they're like, there's a zombie outbreak, and there's a band that's dressed like zombies, and their fans are dressed like zombies. So they're like, what do I do, right? I mean,
gotta say,
do I shoot them? Taste. Shoot them, fucking people. And they're like, so they're there, man. This.
Well, I kind of said that too, right? Because the one cop's like, what should we do? And the other cop's like, well, if it is a zombie outbreak, there'll be martial law, and then we can just...
then we can just shoot them anyway. But it was stressful because these poor cops are in a situation where they don't know who they can shoot and who they can't. So they get fucked. Because as the concert's going on, the zombies end up biting the cops, and they thought they were just band guys going into the bar. They're like, they fucking bit all the cops and turn them into zombies, and then they start playing in the concert hall, and their first song's called Pig Meat to make fun of the cops. Pig Meat. And the zombies go into the theater and they're like, tickets please, and they bite the guy's fingers off, and then there's an outbreak of zombies inside of the club, and it's like, oh fuck. And it looks like everybody in the club gets fucked except for the guitarist and the lead singer, the bald lead singer. They end up escaping out the back door. But then there's that cop. He's out there, and he's like holding his intestines. He's all fucked up. And he ends up biting the guy in the side of the cheek. So the guy's fucked. The guitarist is going to turn into a zombie soon because you know he was bitten. But they get in their car. They take off. She calls her dad. So she's like a punk rock chick, but her dad's a rich senator. So I guess she rebels a lot. But she ends up not telling her dad about her boyfriend, but he's bit. She drives him out to the middle of nowhere and fucking blows his brains out. Even though she says she's going to let him go and do whatever he wants to do, she shoots him like a gazillion times in the head.
Smart move.
Yeah, and then she heads to Vegas, where she's going to meet her father. And the cops wanted her to turn around, but because her father's a big... a senator, they let her through. And that's how it kind of ends, except that a zombie got into Las Vegas too. So, man, it was pretty cool. I liked it. The thing that made it very, I think, successful for me in a zombie book is the fact that these cops were in a bad situation, man. They were in a situation where they didn't know if these guys, if they shot somebody, it could have been a legit zombie or it could have been a real person. That's messed up.
Yeah, and I like how they start with the fake out, because you're faked out at first, you're like...
Well, I've never seen a zombie book open up where a zombie decides to unzip your pants and blow you.
I know, except Crossed.
Yeah. But that's not a zombie.
It's like, wait a second, this isn't
This Crossed. Is not Crossed. So, yeah, this is a pretty good one. And it looks like it's going to continue into Vegas, so... Who knows what's going to happen, but the lead character is still there.
And that's David Hine, did you say that?
Yeah, David Hine and German Urmospi. I don't know. I think they get like a lot of people outside the U.S. to draw these, but they're damn good artists, really. Yeah,
there's a lot of Italian artists, it seems, now.
Shit, they're awesome.
They're all real good.
And they know how to draw gore, that's for sure.
Well, it's smart. I mean, it's not like in these other countries comics haven't been around. They're very popular in a lot of these countries.
Yeah.
So you've got people over there who are capable. Just like other countries that are capable of making gold teeth.
And I read Farrell's number 10. This book... just amazes me. It's so good werewolf stuff. And oh, it's really, really vile and sexual, like Avatar would put out. But it really is a really good story behind it as far as wolves, because this guy's going undercover in a coven that's basically... They've managed to get a whole school bus of kids and turn them into wolves. This one asshole wolf... guy that's in charge of the pack, and he uses those kids to kind of like the protectors of the pack, except they're cannon fodder. They just throw them out there. And this one guy's a wolf, and he's undercover with the girl, and the girl was a FBI agent. She's somehow becoming like sexually involved with this guy that's a wolf. Like, and she's like, I guess he emits some kind of pheromone that just gets her really horny or something. But they're both undercover and trying to break up this pack of wolves. And she finds out she's pregnant. It's just crazy, crazy werewolf stuff. And these are pretty violent werewolves. And this pack is like... they control this whole town. Like, there's nothing that could go on in the town. The sheriff can't do anything. They really let this pack of wolves run the whole town. And this guy has gone undercover, but he's not letting his FBI counterparts know that he's had any success whatsoever. And speaking of werewolves, I read Ursa Minor, which is not a werewolf, but it's a werebear. And she's the only werebear in the entire world. They're almost extinct, and werebears are known for killing vampires. And this book is when it's kind of like if you're watching True Blood, where the vampires have a society, and their society in this latest season is killing off a lot of people without the society knowing. And like they have this one scene where they have a restaurant. These vampires have a restaurant. And they have these girls tied to the lamps, and they just like drain them from blood right there and fill up their wine glasses. And people volunteer for that because the government put this act in law that says we should help vampires, or it's some kind of like contribution where you could donate blood, a certain amount of blood, because the vampire saved us. At least the government thinks they saved us. So they allow for people to volunteer to donate their bodies to these vampires and just drain them.
What do they save us from?
It didn't really say. And if it did, I missed it. But the senator comes and he's appalled by what he sees there, and they're kind of using his daughter like, "How old's your daughter?" And like, you know, they're kind of like, if you fuck with us, we're gonna go after your family. That's what they're kind of using against the senator. And then meanwhile, there's this golem and this werebear and this other person that it's a cool world because it's very much like True Blood, where they're different kinds of that. They meet up with a witch, and the witch knows how to take down the vampires, but she's saying, "I'm not going to help you because there's only one creature that could help us," and she doesn't believe that this girl's a werebear, but she is a werebear. But it is pretty cool. I like it. It's getting better with every issue. It's by Big Dog Inc. Tom Hutchinson is the writer. He kind of writes a lot of the Big Dog Inc. books, which I like a lot. I just don't like his posts on Facebook. He frustrates me because he's so like negative about everything except for his stuff. And
okay. Like negative about the other comics, you mean?
Yeah, other comics industry. Coming out in the industry. And I'm okay with that because I don't want to be a hypocrite because I do follow, like, I love the Goon. And I'll support anything that he does. Like, I read Billy the Kid's New Odd Time Oddities. I love Eric Powell. Like, his work, it's almost like, to me, like Kirby-esque. Like, I could, like, sit and look at a page for, like, a long, long time just because his art style just appeals to me. And then it's so macabre and weird, and I don't know what the... It's such a weird world. But Tom Hutchinson did a good job with this one, and I like it a lot. Somewhat even more than the True Blood comic. And this one kind of feels like in that vein where you have all kinds of werewolves and witches and all these factions, and they all fight. Feels very much like that, but I like it more than the True Blood comic. Maybe because it's different. And they have a werebear. That's pretty awesome. And I read I read Trio number 4, which I think is fantastic. Nobody's buying it, but if you like Bronze Age comics that are really dense and have a lot of story and a lot happens, I'd highly recommend John Byrne's Trio because it's just fun. I mean, it is so fun.
Looking forward to his new book, too.
Yeah, I'm going to order that. Space. Number 1, it's a sci-fi type story. Yeah. What I was upset with is this one kind of ends somewhat on a cliffhanger. It kind of concludes, but then ends up on a cliffhanger. And then it says, "To be continued, we promise." And then they never solicited the next one. So...
But they promised.
They promise. I don't know why a lot of readers don't like to try new stuff, but and I don't know what I would do. I kind of have in my mind if my salary was decreased significantly or if I was laid off, what books I would get, you know? Mm-hmm. But if I was limited, I think a lot would go towards the indies. I mean, there would definitely be some core DC in there, maybe one or two Marvels, and then the rest would be indies because of my enjoyment of them.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Like, I had to cut down because of having to pay for school and so forth and other things. And so, mostly, I read old books, but...
And the thing
that gave up Marvel and DC because that was the easiest thing to get rid of.
Well, the thing that I think makes it easy, Micah, is it's more soap opera-y. In other words, it's more... it's like you're following a soap opera and you get more and more of the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
mm-hmm.
if you go out, you might discover something that is totally different and not so much. So those are a little harder to give up because they are different.
Just depends what you're reading comics for.
Yeah, and that's
if you're just a superhero fan, then
right.
That's one thing. But if you're a story fan, then you're more apt, I think, to go out and find good stories, no matter what they are.
Right, and I love the superhero genre. That's right. I still get like a lot, all the DCs and quite a bit of Marvels. But it, if I was limited, it would, you know, my landscape of what I read. And I don't talk a lot of DC here because I do that elsewhere, but I read a ton of DC. And most of that is...
You read all DC, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And most of out of that is for the history of it. And because I love the characters so much, it's a little bit different. Some of the stories are fantastic. Like, I think a lot of the Zero issues were really good. And a lot of the other stories, like Phantom Stranger, blew my mind. I really liked it. I really am a Dan DiDio nut. I'm a huge fan. I know a lot of people hate him, but he's really good. But another book from Big Dog Inc. that was good is Critter. That's a superhero book. So if you enjoy superheroes, you might enjoy Critter. But that one has like a Josie and the Pussycats feel, but with superheroes. And I enjoy it. And what other... I got my Kickstarter. I read Halloween Eve. And I kind of was disappointed on that, to tell you the truth.
Aww.
Amy Reeder's art is fantastic.
To be sure.
It is beautiful.
Oh, I totally forgot to talk about something. You just reminded me.
About a Kickstarter?
No, about a comic that I read that I totally forgot that I had read. It reminded me when you said the art was awesome.
Yeah, the art in this is fantastic, but the story is, man, there's just not a lot of story there. I don't understand why there isn't. Like, this woman works at a Halloween, you know how they have those Halloween warehouse stores? Like, it's really, they sell costumes.
They pop up in closed stores.
Yeah. Well, that's what this story is about, and
that's cool.
She ends up, it's just kind of like a scene where she like passes out and her mind goes to pot overnight and she's in an imaginary world and then all of a sudden she's back out of it. And it could appeal to you, I guess. It just didn't ring my bell right. But I'm glad I supported it because I'm a huge fan of Amy Reeder. I mean, there's certain artists that I'm like Bill, like, I'll buy it no matter what the story is just because the art is appealing. And sometimes the story falls short. Well, this one fell short, but I enjoyed the art. Like, I could look at the book over and over again and still enjoy it. So, Bill, what was the other book that you were reminded of?
So, you're talking about fantastic art. Who is another fantastic artist?
Steve Ditko.
No.
Jack Kirby?
Oh.
Scholey?
Modern amazing artist, female.
Fiona Staples.
You got it. So I read and was blown away by Saga Volume 1.
Oh, you finally got that.
I finally got it. Well, I'd read the first issue and loved it, and now I got to read the full first arc. Man, what an awesome book this is. This book is so good. The art is amazing. Fiona Staples has never looked better, in my opinion.
It's really good.
And luckily, in this case, the story is really, really good, too. And the characters are awesome as well. It's just, this is a whole package. Every comic reader needs to be reading this, I think.
Well, when they get a chance to. Pick up the trade. I would suggest moving the trade. I don't know, the 6-month like gap between the last issue and whenever the next one comes out is a bit much for me. Like, I keep forgetting, like, I've already forgotten about it existing.
When did it get, was it like between arcs or?
Yeah. So the first six issues, what's in the trade came out, and then there hasn't been another issue. I don't know if 7 came out or not yet. I don't think it has.
Wow, so I'm up to date.
Yeah, you're current. Yeah, you're current now.
So this is the story of... It's a sci-fi story where there's been this war between these people who live on the moon, this moon, and the people on the planet. And the people on the planet have wings, and the people on the moon have horns. And the main character is this guy from the moon people and this girl from the planet people who have fallen in love and have this kid. So now they're on the run from both of their peoples, and on the run across the universe, essentially. And it's awesome. And there's a bunch of crazy, crazy characters. And I love that ghost girl.
You just motivated me to read that today, just because you and Micah love it, and it's only six. Like Micah's right, seven hasn't even come out yet, so.
I over-exaggerated. It's only been 3 months. The next one comes out, I think, next week. So
it just seems like that long.
It feels like forever, because it came out every month, and then it just stopped.
Oh, and there's weird sex in this one, too. he goes to this weird, like, sex...
Oh, yeah, that thing.
This weird sex planet where you can go to have all your sexual desires fulfilled. And there's, like, crazy-looking people. Oh, and there's there's these bounty hunters that are after them because they got hired to catch them. And this one bounty hunter has this awesome giant cat.
Yeah.
Lion cat, who is totally awesome. Because whenever he'll be sitting there in a conversation, and if the other person's lying, the cat just goes, lying. So the cat will tell you when someone's lying. It's an awesome cat. And then there's these people with, like, who are, I don't know if they're, like, half robots or fully robots, but they have television screens for heads. Head?
Yeah.
And then there's the ghost girl is awesome. It's just a great book. Fantastic. Brian K. Vaughan. This might be my favorite Brian K. Vaughan book. Actually, I think it is.
Yeah, I'm going to go dig those up. I probably not going to do a lot more reading today, but I want to read them. I'll read them before bed.
And do you have them?
Yeah, he has them. The art is beautiful. Beautiful.
You just mentioned another artist that I'll buy everything from, sight unseen, Fiona Staples. Fiona Staples and Amy Reeder are not just fabulous artists. They are so awesome to talk to. I mean, they're like nice, nice people. I mean, super nice. So, I'll support all of their books. Plus, she's got such a cool style that it... Man, I'm amazed at both of their styles, actually. The other one I like a lot, which doesn't, I guess, fall into my genre of liking, is Becky Cloonan. She's up there for me.
It's because you secretly like manga. It's okay.
I guess so. I love Blecky Clunen's art. And,
yeah, that's the only way you can read manga without actually admitting to reading manga.
There you go. So I saw some guy on Twitter post, and I don't like to, like, I don't tweet a lot except on the weekend, but he's like, this Animal Man, I can't remember, is the annual, the Swamp Thing annual. I can't stand it because the art is Becky Cloonan, and because she said it looked too cute. And I don't think that Cloonan's art is cute. Like, that's the word I wouldn't describe it. It's like a dark, I find it dark and gritty. Like, if you read
American Virgin.
And then if you read that Batman that she did and Conan, like, that's not cute art. I mean, cute? Come on. It's kind of a darkish adventure style, I find it. And maybe it is a little manga-esque, but I like it, and I like her storytelling style.
Yeah.
So there's three fantastic women artists that I like. Yeah, art is very subjective, but I think
the Saga trade is only $9.99, so everyone should run out and get it.
Yeah, that's,
oh, really?
That's neat. Six issues.
That's a good pricing.
Oh, man.
Image seems really good about the first volume. Like,
yeah, they do that for not all of their books, but a lot of their books. They try and get you. Well, they know, because a book like this, I mean, if you get this, you're going to get the future ones. So get you in at the cheap price, and then they know you. They got you for life.
I've got two more real quick ones.
This is a comic book episode.
All comics all the time.
I had so much good comics. I like when I get Hawkeye number 3, just to bring the Marvel love in. This book is so much fucking fun, man.
I'm going to get the trade of that for sure.
It's such single issues, and this issue was awesome because he starts off, it's almost like a Quentin Tarantino start off, like an action scene where they're in a car and he's shooting arrows out, and there's some woman tied in the back seat, and you're like, why is she tied in the back seat? And he's with, Kate, the other Hawkeye, the Young Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like she's a regular in this book now, and she's great. She's like a cool sidekick, and she's almost just as badass an archer as Hawkeye is. And it starts off like I had 9 fucking horrible ideas this day, and he goes through and counts down all his horrible ideas. Dumb idea number 1 was labeling all his arrows, like his trick arrows that he's had over the years, and he needed to get some tape labels. So he went to the store and then he's going to the store and he sees this nice looking car. It looks like a Chevelle, like some kind of muscle car. And it's a pretty badass car. And he says, I want to buy this car. So he talks to this girl. I don't know if he's flirting, because you know Hawkeye's the flirt, very much like Ollie Queen. And he says he wants to buy the car. So he's like, drive me to the bank and I'll buy this car from you if the price is right. And then you get into like a speed racer type comic where it's just hilarious. I love it. And then he ends up in the sack with this girl. And I don't know, man. This book is... And it's $2.99. It's a Marvel comic for $2.99. How about that? Hawkeye, number 3. You should read it. Especially if you like Done in One stories. You'll really like it. It's a really good monthly comic because every issue so far has been contained. And its art style is very appealing to me. It's Aja. And I like his art a lot. It's
amazing art in the book.
Yeah. Like it a lot. Shadow Man number 1. Oh man. Did you guys get Shadow Man number 1?
Yeah, I don't think I've gotten it yet.
Did you order it, Micah, or did you?
No, I was gonna wait.
You know what? I'll ship you one. I bought an extra copy. So I'll get this out to you. I'll send you the Cyber Force. You didn't read that either. I had 2 copies of that, so you could get to enjoy those. But Shadow Man number 1, I had to buy the cover because I didn't think I ordered the all-black cover. And I'm almost falling into the same damn Valiant thing where I want to get the covers. Do you know what I mean?
They got you.
Yeah, they're getting me. And I didn't know I ordered both covers from DCBS. I thought I just ordered the regular cover, and this was an all-black cover, so... I wanted to get it, and this story is really good because it talks about his parents, and his father's a shadow man of the past, and it kind of leads you into the shadow man of the future, Jack Boniface, and he's not a sax player, at least from what I can tell in this one, but he's like a museum, he's like a Hawkman type museum curator, and it's weird, he's like... You don't even go to school for this. Why did they give you this job? And his museum is about to close. And he has this emblem around his chest that his mama gave him when he was real young. And it was something to protect him. And he has a detective doing a background check because he was raised by foster parents about his parents. And he finds out his dad was arrested for several counts of criminal acts, even though he was really innocent. And he kind of gets that emblem that his mom gave him from his father and throws it into the ocean. He's like, fuck this. And then all hell breaks loose. It's so cool. The Valiant books are really, really damn good. Like, if you liked Valiant in the past, I really don't see how you could not like the current Valiant. I can't see it because it's very much in that vein. They get it. They get what they created. In the past. Yeah,
I've liked all the stuff I've read so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're doing the cheap first volume trades too.
Yeah, I'm almost a triple dip in that too. I'm quadruple dipping in the digital too because of the 99 cent. On Comixology, you could get the old stuff for 99 cents in this last weekend, which you'll be too late if you listen to this. But they had all the Shadow Man's 1 through 11 on sale for 99 cents. That was pretty good. And the last thing I want to mention is a couple of episodes ago, I mentioned Grim Fairy Tales, the annuals. And I was saying how it's kind of weird how the storyline's crawling across various books and one-shots. And I read Grim Fairy Tales presents Godstorm, and Grim Fairy Tales presents Grim Universe. And the only thing I can complain about this storyline is you don't know all the books that it's appearing in, but this is all the War of the Gods, you know, the Zeus versus... There is, if you really dig in. Like, there's no parts, like part one, part two, part three. They're kind of like all different stories, all different titles. And that's the terrible marketing idea because I think if they contain this in one book, that it would go really well because it's really cool because I love the Greeks, you know, mythology. And this there's a war brewing and you got Poseidon, you know, teaming up with Hades or what's his name? The guy that is in Hades.
Hades?
Is it Hades?
In Greek, yes, Pluto in
Roman. Okay, there you go. Hades, and then you got Hecate, H-E-C-A-T-E, from Greek mythology. Yeah. And she was a lawyer. It's such good stuff. And if you like Greek mythology, and the covers don't really have a lot of cheesecake either, so if you're always stayed away from Zenoscope because of the cheesecake, I guess the only thing I could complain about in some of the books, the art is really good, and some of them it's not, but... I guess it's a sufficient enough art style that you can definitely follow the story.
It just seems weird to me that they haven't learned from like Marvel and DC and just put out a like title of event and then put out a list of 9,000 books, even books, because like Marvel and DC have gotten really good at this. It helps me not to buy any books, but books that are even like just tangentially related, like they have shit all really to do with the main storyline.
Yeah,
they'll just throw it in on the list. Like this book has nothing to do with Avengers vs. X-Men. It's going to be on the AVX list just because we can.
Yeah, so, it's
you're running back past in the background.
Yeah. This one's really bizarre because like if I was to follow Godstorm, from what I can get out of it, that's like the Zeus side of the story, right? Okay, well then I could go into Grim Universe and I get Hades and Neptune, or not Neptune. God damn it. I keep getting the damn Roman gods and the...
Poseidon.
Thank you. I'm mixing up my Roman mythology with my Greek mythology.
Remember, Romans are planets.
Yeah. And this... But you can't read one without the other without getting the... You know, there's a war brewing in the universe, and if you're getting one side of the story, I would be interested to see how good it is if you're just reading one of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
is it just those two series, or
it's just those two now? But they were launched in a series of. It started off in an annual. It went to a one shot. With Hecate in it, like the one that I can't pronounce and Micah keeps correcting me. And then...
just go with Hecate.
Yeah, and then there's another one-shot. So there's three one-shots that are kind of like just out there, but they're forming the basis of these two series, and then these two series are there, and there might be another one. I just haven't found it yet. But I'm enjoying them, and it... If you want to take a taste of it, I think you can go to Comixology and download God's Storm for free.
Hmm.
So you can get an idea of what I'm reading. So they're enjoyable. I think that's all I had. I just got to get an envelope to send Micah the Shadow Man and the Cyberforce. I think you'll like. It's really fun. Just put aside everything you've known about Cyberforce.
Not much. I'm good on that.
Well, you're in the dollar bin, so I never know how much you know about things because you can find.
I mean, there's a strong chance that like a year from now I'll break into a batch of like 30 issues of Cyberforce and be like, "What is this nonsense?"
But yeah, everything I've read is fantastic. I've enjoyed. The only one that I rated a 3 out of 5 was the Fashion Beast, but I have to admit I'm hooked, Bill. I'm oddly hooked because
there's a certain appeal to it for some reason.
I can't put my finger on it, but I have never read anything that I've. Well, I guess there's a few things that I can't imagine why it's a comic book. Like, I who would have thought of mixing post-apocalyptic with fashion? I have no fucking idea, Alan Moore.
I mean. Yeah, that's the part I get. I mean, I get that there's this world, this post-apocalyptic kind of world, and for some reason or another, fashion has become... People have gravitated towards fashion as the high point just because... I don't know. I guess that's a tangible positive in the world, you know?
Yeah.
Where they don't have a lot of other things, but they do have this fashion that they all look up to. And I dig the character of this girl who's the... Maybe as a boy, but it's a girl as the main character and her troubles or whatever and dealing with this world. So I just don't know where the hell the story's going.
You know why I love comics? I don't know what it is. I would imagine it all, like all Alan Moore's Avatar series, it's like 6 issues.
Okay.
So I can't imagine this being ongoing. But
so that would be interesting... From like a 20-issue story sort of situation, like if it was going to be that sort of,
you know what I love about comics though, more so than TV and movies, and I don't know why it is, but I literally escape. In other words, I don't think about work. I don't think about what I have to do. I don't think about everything else in life that's going on, but I literally enter that world, and I don't know what a comic does differently than other things.
It's because they're made with hemp.
It could be. It's legal here.
Yeah, no, they're
not Colorado anymore. Unless a Fed pulls you over.
I mean, that's the awesome. Like, I love the quote from like the governor or whatever who was like, it's still a federal crime, so don't get too excited yet. Like, don't run for the Cheetos right away because you don't know how it's going to work.
But yeah, this is good hobby. I'm very blessed.
It's a good place to live.
It's a good place to live in this.
Now you can really transport yourself to wherever you need to go. You just buy your 1 ounce of marijuana.
Yeah.
And you read Black Kiss, and now it makes all the sense in the world to you.
So while we're talking about the great thing about comics, there's two things I like the most. One is that they can do any kind of story, and there's no limitation. So any crazy idea someone thinks of, they can actually put it out there.
Right, and it's not costing them a fortune.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, Saga, to do that as a movie, it'd be...
Impossible. It's so expensive.
Yeah. So it's awesome. And the other thing is, I think... As an experience for the viewer, comics are cool because you're in control of the experience. Meaning, if you want to pause on a panel and look at the art, you can do that. Or if you want to go quickly through it, you can do that. Whereas if you're watching a TV show, you can't. It just goes by at whatever speed that the director wanted it to go by.
Well, yeah, that's what I like about, even creatively for comics, is that when you're doing it, you have complete control of the timing of it. And so a panel can last as long as you want it to last, and a series of panels can last as long as you want those series of panels to last. And so, that was my big gripe against the motion comics thing, was that those disrupted the timing of some books. Because, sometimes it's obvious that whenever they're drawing it out for you, they want you to read it at a certain pace.
Right. When you get to the big splash, you sit there for a moment. And
yeah, some panels are bigger than others and so forth. But with movies and TV, it's all real time. Like, there's no, like, you know, it's hard to break that up into a different chunk of time.
So. Except when they do the slow motion bullets flying.
Well, yes.
That's the only time they mess with the timeline.
I'm glad that that kind of slowed down. There was a time where that was everywhere for no reason in some movies.
It's like that, the last Sherlock Holmes movie.
Yeah.
that shooting in the forest. It's like, wow.
Yep. But, yeah, I like comics. I think they're all stupid, though.
I could read a bad one and still enjoy it or get something out of it. Like,
I think the format is nice. And I like my only complaint or whatever.
Price.
The price is a bit much. And because of the price and because comics are so, it's hard to make money off of them. So you can only do certain things. Like,
you have to buy books like Back Chris to make money because there's so few of them printed.
Yeah.
And there's more demand than there is print.
Like, I'm excited for the digital stuff, but like, even with paper, like, for instance, with art, right? With the art of comics, it feels like it's difficult for people to try to experiment with wildly different things. Like J.H. Williams is about as like weird as it gets in mainstream comics as far as like panel layout and that kind of stuff. But it's hard because like if you do something too weird, then people are going to pick it up and be like, I missed my 9-panel pages. What happened? What is this? And so I wish they could make money off of it, but they can't
because
comics is hard.
It's a hard business to be in if you're trying to make money off of it because you always have to be creative, right? And have these ideas but still appeal to a mass market.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't give a shit and you put a book out there that may catch on and
appeal
to a mass market because it's so different. But you're rolling the dice. I mean,
yeah, it could. How many books come out and like no one reads them and they're probably full of brilliant ideas, but they come out at the wrong time or like, you know.
Yeah. Like I think Steve Gerber as a writer was way ahead of his time. And maybe if he was writing stuff today, and I know he passed away and all, but I think he would have caught on like his Man Thing and Howard the Duck and Defenders.
Yeah.
His ideas and concepts were just, they were out there. I mean, he was very much a thinker, in my opinion. And Jack Kirby, like, I am so blown away about his ideas. Like, I read it now, and I enjoy it more now than I did when I was a kid. Like, 1,000 times more.
His fourth world stuff is absolutely brilliant. And OMAC, my
God.
Even as short of a run as OMAC is, like, that's a brilliant book for...
Yeah. Not only the man was he talented at art and storytelling, but he could write. I think his words were as good as anybody's out there, you know, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a fantastic. My Kirby love has no bounds.
Comics are good, except for when they're not. Then they suck.
When they suck.
Like, I even read ones that I don't like Green Arrow, but...
Are you still reading that?
I still am, yeah.
Why? You hate it.
Bear's taking over that book. I was so happy. I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, fuck yeah. I just don't get Anne Nesenti yet. She's writing True Blood, and I get that because it's very much like the TV show, and
basically transcribing the TV show. Is that book? I don't know how that book is.
No, that book is very different.
They're
playing a fine line between, as far as like time frame,
mm-hmm.
like it's kind of like mid, like second season in or third season, but they're like fitting stories in between the TV series and getting away with it. They're gotcha. Pretty successful with it.
Okay, it's like those remember when TV shows used to have like those really small novels that came out for the shows? This is like a 90s thing.
Yeah.
like all these shows had novels that would take place in between episodes and so forth, so they wouldn't interrupt continuity.
Like X-Files and
between seasons.
Yeah, like X-Files had them, like Buffy had them, like a couple other shows had, you know, a lot of shows had them in the 90s. It was a big deal. And then books, the books died. And so
some of the 2000s have them.
Yeah.
It was like CSI and Criminal Minds.
Oh, CSI, those have everything though. They got iPhone video games, and they got shit. You can get CSI wherever you want to get CSI. They got a CSI comic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's still being put out, but I know it existed.
It is IDW.
Still doing it?
No, they're not.
Okay. But I know it existed. I know there's a 24 comic at one point in time.
That was also IDW.
There's a theme here.
IDW trying to get.
I actually have the 24s because Barb had me get them for. I have them personally. She loved 24.
Well, the show was amazing, but I didn't know if she liked the comic or not.
I don't think she ever finished it because it was a comic. Barb tends to. If it's a single monthly, she tends to lose interest. If it's a trade, she'll dive in and finish it.
Is she going to read the Saga trade?
Probably, because it's Brian K. Vaughan, and she does like Brian K. Vaughan.
Yeah, she'll like it, I think.
The only Brian K. Vaughan thing I think she hasn't finished, she started but hasn't finished, is Runaways. Everything else she's finished.
Wait, did she just not finish? Did she not finish his run on Runaways, or did she not finish Runaways as a series?
She hasn't finished Runaways as a series.
Oh, she's fine.
His run, sorry.
Oh, his run, okay.
Yeah.
Because you're not missing much anymore.
She tends to like things that are non-superhero-ish. Like, I can't name too many superhero stuff that she really enjoys. Even though Runaways is totally different. Like, it's a story about kids that are growing up and their parents are supervillains and they're uniting as a team. It's still superhero stuff. But you throw something that's like Vertigo or autobiographical or something and she flocks to it. She likes it.
Like, I think she'll like Saga. It's sci-fi, but it's more about the people.
Yeah. Like she loves Fables. Anything Fables she'll read. She loved DMZ. Like DMZ, she's... Anything Brian Wood does, she likes. Brian K. Vaughan, she likes.
I like DMZ.
Willingham.
Me too.
All that stuff.
Has she read the Willingham book, Fables book?
I have.
Yes, the one, I think she has.
The Peter Piper
Peter
one.
And Max or something?
Peter and Max.
Yeah.
I wish she would do another book.
Are you sure they're not doing another one? I think they're doing something else. I think
they are doing another book.
I believe I heard something about them doing something else. Google, to the rescue.
But anyway, have you guys seen any TV or movies you guys want to talk about?
No. Let me think. Quick recap. The turtles are still cool. They're turtles. They fight crime. Really exciting. What else do I watch on TV? That's it. Wow, I watched nothing on television.
I'm one episode behind on American Horror Story, and we missed recording it, so I'll have to like get it off of iTunes or something.
Stupid American Horror Story. I missed the first episode.
Did you?
Well, because they changed the title.
Asylum.
Oh, it's just, yeah, because of that Asylum. Thing.
God damn it. And I was like, hey, where's American Horror Story?
But it's been very, very creepy because there's a couple things that freak my shit, and this one had both of them. One of the things that freaks my shit is the sane asylums. So this one's already freaking my shit. But then that you throw a... demons and, you know, the devil in it, and exorcisms, and oh my god, it's really freaking my shit. So it's pretty good, and the acting is fantastic. It's cool it's cool that my two favorite shows on TV are horror-based right now, Walking Dead and American Horror Story, and Walking Dead is really, really good. I don't want to spoil that because it's so different than the comic book, but it was a really that last episode was intense, man.
I've seen a lot of people give up on that show.
Yeah, let them. I'm happy. I don't care. All my shows get canceled anyway, so I'm not surprised. But the stories I tend to navigate to are ongoing stories. Like everybody talks good things about Arrow, but to me, Arrow is like a crime CSI type show to me, at least. And I have a harder time getting into those shows than I do like something that's an ongoing story.
I like the pilot, but apparently not enough to watch anything else since then. I have not gone back to Arrow yet.
I've watched him. I'm not really a fan.
It didn't make me want to come back. I had positive feelings after watching it. Like I watched him, like, oh, that was good enough. But
yeah, the pilot was good. You're okay just watching that.
Yeah, I haven't been able to come back to it, and nothing is really exciting.
It's the same thing every episode.
I would imagine it's the same thing every episode. And
then there's the CW relationship drama.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm sure there's relationship drama. Has Merlin become a bad guy yet, or are we just, he's still just an asshole best friend?
I haven't seen it far enough to know.
God, I'm sure that won't happen for a while. I was wondering how long they're going to hold on to that, like, to that card in their pocket or whatever.
Yeah, I wanna watch it. I gotta get on it.
No, you don't.
Well, I wanna watch it. It's on my TiVo, and I need to either decide to delete them or get them off and watch it because I'm running out of space. So, the problem is I haven't gotten into the new cartoons yet, and I need to get caught up on Clone Wars and young what the hell is it?
Young Justice,
and
that's coming back for like another 4 months or whatever. So you got time.
Yeah, I actually have it recording a lot of them that I missed. I guess did the invasion changeover, you know?
Right.
So I'm watching some of those and the Green Lantern, but that one I'm not sure. I'm kind of like I can watch it or I cannot watch it, and I feel indifferent to it. Like I don't know. So, yeah, Always Sunny was really good, at least the second to the last episode where this rich brother and sister tried to con – well, one of them was trying to con D. They basically had like a fraternity bet, if you would, to like find the dumbest people you could possibly find and date them, I guess, or pretend to like them, and one of them picked D. And it was so funny because they went to a restaurant and he says that they were pretending to be sophisticated and they were like losing interest in him. So they were like, be yourselves. And Dee's like, look, I'm sweating. And she lifts up her pits and she's like drenched under her armpits. I'm like, that's crazy. And they were telling Charlie, like, whatever you do, don't show him that you love cheese, because every time he sees cheese, he goes nuts and just starts like hoarding it and eating it and putting it in his pockets and shit. And, they brought a cheese plate by and he went nuts. But the girl legitimately fell in love with Charlie. But Charlie's still in love with that waitress. And she's got a restraining order in him. And all hell was breaking loose with the waitress after he stopped stalking her. So she like lifted the restraining order or like said, you can come within 90 feet. So he like refell in love with her again. So that was crazy. And The Office is continuing to be... I don't know if this is my favorite season, but it's probably my favorite consecutive, like, every episode I've really enjoyed.
I still like last season more.
Really?
But I have an unnatural love for last season.
I think this season's my favorite because it really goes back to the first season as far as them fucking with Dwight, you know? And I really like that. I don't know if you saw the latest, but They had really messed up Dwight. They said he was going to be on a radio show.
Yeah, that was funny.
Oh my God! And he was in the conference room, and he was almost naked. And then Kevin thought it was okay, so he dressed down to his boxers. And then Kevin found out that the one guy was having the relationship with the gay senator. Kevin is too much, man. I don't know what goes in that guy's mind, but
not much.
Yeah, not much. He's so simple.
Innocent, yeah.
Simple and innocent.
I heard they canceled.
He's the simple and innocent, and then Crane is the simple and scary.
Yeah. I think it's more like a child, if you have to describe him.
Yeah, he's a big child.
Yeah. What's Creed is the scary one. Did you see the Halloween episode where his shirt was covered in blood? Oh, shit! And he says, it's Halloween!
It's Halloween.
And he says, and then he's like talking to the camera and he's like, what a great coincidence. He's the creepy one. What were you saying, Micah? You were saying something.
Oh, I was saying I heard they canceled the
Oh, the Dwight thing?
The Dwight thing.
Yeah.
Did they? Didn't hear that.
It's what it seems like. So this will be the actual end of The Office.
I saw that they're doing a new Battlestar Galactica movie or special.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Oh.
I guess they're doing it on... They're going to do it online and then going to air it on whatever sci-fi or whatever.
Off the latest Battlestar? Or...
Yeah. I don't know where it takes place in terms of the storyline. I don't think it's the main characters. I think it's like a spin-off type one.
Oh, kind of like that other series they tried to launch.
Yeah, the one they did. I don't know a lot about it, though. I just saw the story. I didn't look into it.
Any other TV you guys watch?
I watched some stuff, but I can't remember.
I watched some of that Restaurant Confidential or whatever it is where they go into restaurants and the guy put cameras and see what they do. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite frightening. I would hate to do that if I was a business owner and see what actually happens.
See what your employees are doing.
I think I've not watched a lot other than Walking Dead and American Horror Story. And the two comedies I watch, Always Sunny and The Office. We've been watching that show Too Cute on Animal Planet because Harley had infatuation with that show. Like, she'll sit there and watch a whole program. She's the weirdest dog. I've never seen a dog like TV so much.
You just got the HDTV in there, right?
Yeah.
I saw an article that said that dogs can see the HD better than they can see the regular TVs.
Oh, but we don't have HD, though. We have the HDTV, but not an HD, what do you call it, satellite receiver, so.
It's probably a better picture, though.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's something she likes about it. So she likes watching animals?
Yeah, anything on Animal Planet, she's usually... But she likes the dogs for some reason more than, like, the cats. We took her to training yesterday, and she got to, like, touch a dog for the very first time. There was a pug. She almost knocked it over because it was a dog. It lifted its leg, and I thought I was going to piss on her, but... It was pretty good. And then she was playing with a cat. There was a little kitten, like a brand new kitten, and it was playing with Harley, and they were just sniffing noses and stuff. So she seems to be, like, oblivious to... She's real attentive to animals, but doesn't seem aggressive or anything to him. She just gets really weird when they ignore her. In other words, if they don't pay attention to her. If they acknowledge her, she's fine.
So she's needy?
Yeah, very much. Very much. She's like part of the pack. Like me and Barb leave and she barks and howls and makes noise. She feels like she has to be everywhere with us. She loves Saturdays because Saturdays is usually like her day. We take her to training and then all this stuff. And
her day of fun.
Yeah, her day of fun. Any movies? I haven't been to the movies in a long, long time. But I got to watch The Gray. This is on Netflix instant streaming. This was Liam Neeson and a bunch of wolves. And I liked it. The reason it was my pick in DC Noise and just never got around to watching it. And I finally got around to watching it after Keith. And I think Daryl was on my side defending it. And Keith was saying that if you watch the preview, you don't need to watch the movie. I think that was his argument. But I never watched the preview. And I watched the movie and I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. It's a very simple story. It's like he works like for a protector around the guys that, you know, pump oil at a certain places, and a lot of times the wolves attack the people, and he'll kill the wolves. When they get on a plane to go to a different area, the plane crashes, and there's only a few of them, and they're hunted down by wolves essentially. And I thought it was a pretty cool story, and I liked the ending. And I got the impression that Keith thought it was like it didn't finish ending, but I thought it was very much a finish ending. So I liked it. The Gray. Netflix instant streaming. You guys watch anything?
I don't think I've watched a movie in the past 2 weeks. No, I haven't. I'm going to try and go catch like James Bond next week, though, possibly.
I hear that's good. I have not seen it. What did I see? I'm trying to find out what I saw, because I don't remember. I saw Gone Baby Gone, but it was all right. That's a Ben Affleck first movie he directed. It's just a missing child story. It was good. What else did I watch?
I try to watch another movie today. Very behind in watching Netflix movies. Like, I still got to watch the DVD I have, and I'll probably watch it today if I have time. Today's football day, so who knows if I'll get a chance to watch it. We went to Big Lots yesterday. I never go there. Do you guys have Big Lots out there?
Yeah. Big Lots is a really weird store. I like it.
Yeah, I like it. It's got like a lot of cheaper stuff, but a lot of it. And I found a lot of like goodies, Little Debbie things that I don't see around very often. So I bought some Little Debbie, what are they called? Banana pudding rolls. And usually you'll find the strawberry shortcake rolls like almost at every grocery store. And I like the strawberry shortcake ones. But the banana pudding you might see once or twice a year, at least where we live. And those are delicious. And then I also found these things I've never seen before. They're called fudge rounds. And they're almost like an oatmeal cream pie as far as what they look like. But they're fudge with fudge cake, and I liked them. So a lot of junk that's no good for me whatsoever, I found at Big Lots.
I don't have any Big Lots close to me. Like, gotta go like...
That is sad.
10 miles to get to a Big Lots.
We also bought some really cheap Christmas wrapping paper with superheroes on it.
Hey.
Hey.
Go.
As far as food, man, I didn't really... Oh, we had All You Can Eat Old Chicago, which is fantastic. They have this Tuscan pizza now, which they cook like on a rack. I don't know how they do it, but it's like a thin pizza, and I just freaking love it. And then an All You Can Eat buffet with that is like paradise, because I get to try all kinds of like chicken type pepperoni and jalapeno. They had like everything. It was so good. And when you go to the buffet, you get a salad and a cookie afterwards. What a great buffet. I was very satisfied, except the only time I get to eat with Barb is usually on the weekends, and they don't have the buffet on the weekends, which we usually just get a Tuscan pie our own, but it's so much better at a buffet because there's just so much more to try.
I'm trying to think of what I've eaten. Let's see. We had... Okay, I made chicken and pasta the other day. Let's see. It was chicken that was done up with an apple cider marinade over it. And then we used the leftover marinade to make, like, pasta that was kind of like... pasta with lemon juice and so forth. It was really good. Quite tasty. Let me think, what else did we eat? We've had a lot of good food lately. Last night, we had a different pasta dish. It was like pasta. Oh, we had acorn squash. We had like the acorn squash thing where you take acorn squash and you cut it in half and you take out all the seeds. And then you put like brown sugar and stuff in it, and maple syrup maybe. In the bowl of the acorn squash, and you put that in the oven, mm-hmm. and you let it cook for a couple of hours. And so you end up with this little, like in the acorn squash, in the middle of it would be like a little pool of brown sugar and syrup. And you kind of just spread that out over the rest of the acorn squash, and you scoop it up with a spoon and eat it. It's really tasty. I recommend it.
Bill, just the same old, same old?
I think so. I can't think of anything unusual I've had. No acorn squash. No buffet restaurants.
I've never had almonds in my salad, and I think I like them. Just those slivered almonds.
They like nuts in salad.
I never put nuts in my salad.
You should put more nuts in your salad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nuts in the toss salad. So you guys have anything else, or you want to wrap up?
I think I'm done. I just want to hear more about Strawberry Shortcake. I never thought about the third story in that book, where what? Orange Blossom's sister doesn't send her a Christmas card, and Orange Blossom gets really sad. But then it turns out that Orange Blossom's sister was actually going to plan a surprise visit, which further proves that surprise birthdays and surprise visits are always terrible, because it makes somebody feel really bad in the beginning. And they have like a because Orange Blossom had a horrible day. And then she's like, oh, my sister does love me. I thought she hated my guts now because she didn't send me a card.
What is Orange Blossom's sister's flavor?
I don't know. I don't remember.
It's got to be some kind of citrus, right?
Not a fan of the smell of the orange blossom. Just want to say that. And I love oranges, too.
It's like the blueberry.
The blueberry smells pretty good, yeah.
You guys are weird. says the one reading the comic.
So what was the next story?
That's it. That was the story. I'm done.
So who's your favorite character?
Orange Blossom. Orange Blossom.
She stinks.
I'm also a fan of, I don't even know their names anymore. Raspberry something or another.
Raspberry souffle.
Plum pudding is good. Plum pudding is cool.
I've never had a plum pudding.
It's like a small person to hang out with.
Is there a guy?
No. I mean, there's like the only males are like there's like a ladybug, I think, and a bumblebee who's a post office worker.
Where do they come from? They come from trees or they grow?
See, Claire and I talked about this, and we figured it was better not to ask these kind of questions. Because then things get weird, and you get into like cannibalism, like if they eat like fruit flavored things or what have. Like it gets really strange.
I'll have to get a picture of Orange Blossom and put it on the show notes.
It's like when Pokemon eat sushi. Like, is that cannibalism? I don't know what's going on in that world.
I know what Orange Blossom looks like because my niece has Orange Blossom.
Oh. You get a picture of some strawberry shortcakes, some Bravest Warriors, a little Adventure Time, and then we'll get all the wrong kind of listeners.
Yep. And they'll come in and be confronted with Black Kiss and Crossed.
Yeah, she's the only black character they have, right?
Yes. I think Plum Pudding might be vaguely Asian.
Yeah. She is. She looks Hawaiian to me. But I don't know. Everybody else looks white.
Yeah. I think strawberry, raspberry, blueberry, lemon.
Actually, I found some orange blossoms that don't look like orange blossom.
Uh-oh.
Because I know what orange blossom looks like, but I found one that looks like... when you said the peach one, it was Google Images of orange blossom, but it didn't look like the orange blossom that I've seen. So I don't know if she's had two incarnations.
You need to turn your safe search
on. Yeah, turn on safe search.
Oh, you think I'm looking at porn?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it looks like they got a modern.
Yeah, on the wikis. Like
the modern orange blossom has lighter skin.
Yeah, she doesn't even look black to me.
Weird. She's black on the
comic. But the modern toy looks more like the one that I've seen.
Weird.
Yeah. But that's everything you wanted to know about Strawberry Shortcake, but we're afraid to ask. But I can't believe we're talking about Crossed and Strawberry Shortcake and Bedlam and Bravest Warriors and
that's comic books.
Yeah.
The world of comics.
I think I gotta get some more family fun comics into my reading.
I mean, it might do you some good. A good palate cleanser.
Well, Hawkeye was pretty like a palate cleanser. I thought it was very fun. Hawkeye number 3.
That's what I've heard about that book.
I really enjoy it, and I love the fact that it's $2.99. And it's the only thing I don't like is it'll be canceled in about. It'll make it to less.
Ongoing?
Yeah, it's an ongoing, but it'll probably make it till 12 if we're lucky. Yeah. If we're not, maybe 10 or 8. And but it is really fun. I like it.
The story and the artwork so well together in it.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic.
Gives you a feel for what they're going for.
So, yeah, read Hawkeye. If you want a Marvel comic, read Night of the Living Dead. If you want an Avatar comic, Aftermath, I like that. Punk rock, if you like punk rock chicks with bald heads, they like to pretend like they're zombies.
If you like regular old punk rock, just read Punk Rock Jesus.
There you go.
Rock in the title.
Bill was a punk rocker.
Bill was punk rock Jesus when he was young. Then he grew up.
I think that's why he went into his elevator profession.
Profession.
Elevator.
It's not a profession, it's a calling.
Yeah, it's a life-saving job.
Yeah. It's like a minister. It's like you get called into the service.
That's why in all these elevator horror movies, I wish they would have a hero like Bill to fight the devil. Because we've seen Bill in action with, you know, saving regular people's lives, but what is he going to do? What is he going to do when he has to fight the devil in an elevator?
Technically, I didn't have to fight anyone to save people's lives, though.
Yeah, you just save people's lives with the buttons and the phone and...
Use my brains.
Yeah, calm down, people. We need to breathe here.
Stand back.
Let me take over the control panel.
I'm a professional.
But when the devil's there, I don't know what Bill would do. If he'd panic or...
He'd be like, fuck you, old lady. I don't know who it is. Spoiler warning.
Take her. Push the lady forward.
All right. Well, this has been Geek Brunch episode
171.
171. A little bit of strawberry in your shortcake.
I'll put the strawberry in my shortcake.
A little bit of crossed strawberry shortcake. You can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. We have emails. We're flooded with them. We'll get to them.
Yeah, let me know if you want me to review your comic book.
Yeah. Mike, Bill, and Micah at comicbooknoise.com. Send us email. That way we know you're out there, and we're not just sending each other email about when the show's going to be on.
That's mostly what we do.
You go to the Forum for Geeks. Scroll down to Geek Brunch. We always have a thread there. We have a Facebook page if you search for Geek Brunch Podcast, and you could click the like button. Twitter, do_what, DBM00, and Mike Myers Brunch. I think I got everything covered. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yep.
Read Saga.
Bill says read Saga, and Micah says read Short Strawberry Shortcake.
Yeah, pre-order the tray of Strawberry Shortcake Volume 2.
Yeah. And buy the toys. Smell them. What is your favorite flavor of strawberry shortcake?
Let us know.
I'm with Bill. I like the blueberry muffin or whatever the heck her name is.
I'm gonna have to go re-examine the flavor of the strawberry shortcake. Be some creepy old dude rocking around Toys R Us, like, trying to smell all of them.
If you like...
I don't know which one smells best.
If you like werebears, check out Ursa Minor. You'll like that. It's a huge bear that's like a werewolf. A werebear. Like a Care Bear, except it's a werebear.
This has gotten out of hand.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good weekend. Bye.